Free Talk Live. Welcome to the program. You can take control of the airwaves. All you have to do is dial in toll free here. Our number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. Coming up, some really bad news about the U.S. government apparently striking out against cryptocurrency exchanges internationally. They're basically saying their jurisdiction is the entire planet. We'll get into that. It's a scary story. But first,
our jurisdiction is the whole human race.
We're going to talk about the son, or I guess one of the sons of Joe Biden, apparently smoking crack. Photographic evidence is now. There's also now alleged some video. With you in the studio tonight, it's Ian.
It's nobody, and I'll tell you what, if Mr. Biden wants to come by the church, I'll drop some acid with him, and we'll figure it out.
Hey, Chris.
Yeah, so
I'm not quite that interesting, though.
Did you guys hear about this laptop story?
Oh, yeah.
With this Joe Biden son, Hunter.
See, it could be a PSYOP. Or it could be a record of PSYOPs. I don't know what anything
is. Crazy.
Everybody involved is completely out of their mind.
As crazy as everything is going on these days, it doesn't really surprise me.
Well, it's not the first time that a son or a daughter of a high-ranking politician has been caught with crack cocaine.
Sure.
It wouldn't even be the first time the high-ranking politician's been caught with crack cocaine.
Oh, come on. It wouldn't be the first time little Biden was caught with crack. That's how he got thrown out of the Air Force.
But nonetheless, it is.
But when your daddy's got that kind of connections, you don't go to prison like I did. No.
Nope.
I went to prison for weed.
In fact, Joe Biden himself said, quote, "My son, like a lot of people we know at home, had a drug problem. He's overtaken it. He's fixed it."
Well, that's folks he knows at home. Folks he doesn't know, mm-hmm. he throws in prison.
Exactly. He was one of the most ardent drug warriors, if I recall correctly.
Oh, yeah.
And
except when it's his family.
Yeah. Yep, exactly. And that's one of the points that I thought was really important to make tonight about this was mm-hmm. that this is so common with these politicians and their family members. They always end up in some sort of plush rehab center and no mm-hmm. criminal charges whatsoever. And, this is private. I remember when it was Jeb Bush down in Florida.
It's a private affair, yes. It's a private affair when it happens to them.
You know, that's right.
But our affairs are socialized.
You know what's
crazy? They've been nationalized.
You know what's crazy is that they're getting more and more open about the fact that the system is just as corrupt as it is. There was a video that was released where a Supreme Court judge of New York was basically his wife attacked a cop and then was being taken
that
down.
That sounds
by
like
a cop.
My kind of woman.
Hold on.
Come over and say hey to nobody.
She was being put in cuffs and whatever. And and the Supreme Court judge attacked the cop.
Wow.
He assaulted the cop and nothing happens. Nothing happened as a result.
Sure.
But what was crazy about the whole story was that he was using his powers. He was, they knew he was a Supreme Court judge. Mm-hmm. He was saying on video that.
You know who I am.
He didn't even have to say that. They already knew.
They knew.
But he was also using his, apparently his kids are cops or something like that. Was threatening them through his kids being police or something. But it was just so blatant and out there.
That's how they use their family connections.
Right.
In the club.
It was just so out there. And the cop,
this is on video?
Yeah, this is on video. And you can play the audio mm-hmm. if you wanted to, even probably I'm on air. But the cop actually at one point says, you're making us look bad. Like he comes out and admits it. Like, oh, I know this is how it works, but uh-huh. you can't say that
on video.
It's going to look bad because it's on video, right?
It would be so strange to hear a judge telling the truth,
right?
I wouldn't know what that would. What's his name? Wasn't that bad?
Who
the guy who got me?
Kissinger.
Yeah, Kissinger.
They're all bad.
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about.
He wasn't that good.
There ain't no such thing as a good cop.
If he wasn't that bad, he'd have let you walk out of the courtroom.
Well, he could have done a lot worse.
As far as
sentencing, you mean?
I could have done 4 years state prison, mm-hmm. which, it would have been That's about the borderline at which I would have been able to start appealing.
I mean, to appeal to your captors and say, abuse me less, there just seems to be something wrong with that.
Try getting abused and you'll find you want it less.
Yeah, I mean, sure, but it's
that's
just
what I am.
Sometimes you pay off the mafia because that's what you got to do to survive.
Yeah.
And I will survive because I will fight another day.
I can't blame you. It's just the whole situation that you would be later than apologetic almost as to, you know, the people who are abusing
you. I'm not apologetic. I'm giving a rational assessment of what he did and judging his character by that. I'm not supporting him. I'm judging him. I'm just not judging him as harshly as I could because he didn't judge me as harshly as he could.
Fair enough.
Yeah, but that's fair. The
absolutely. I think it's a fair assessment. You're just kind of saying how it is, not necessarily how you feel about the situation.
I mean, okay. How I feel about the situation is my government went to war with me for no reason. It stole a big hunk out of my life. It stole a woman that I loved very much, killed another woman I loved very much. I don't like it. They owe me.
Well, they're probably never going to get it out of them.
Good luck. Yeah, good luck getting reparations.
I'll take it in military surplus when they fall.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'd be fine with them just going away. I mean, I don't demand
there's
reparations.
Plenty
just
to scavenge. And
just go away. Leave me alone.
I will accept, without reparations, but I wouldn't mind some reparations from the people who were doing or participating in that attacking in the first place.
Well, you did get some. You got some from Manchester, $15,000.
From the people who actually did the...
Sure, it came from taxpayers.
Yeah.
Yes,
so
really what you should do is scratch a settlement out of the police and then use that to pay back the taxpayers or use 15,000 of it to pay back the taxpayers.
It's too late.
Yeah,
case
I mean,
is closed.
Unfortunately,
the case
like,
can be open if you reopen.
One of the things that you agree to is that it's closed.
It's done.
And
yeah,
you
it's
won't,
part of
like,
the agreement.
You won't sue the officers individually, I think, is part of the
yeah,
like,
but
settlement
I think that,
and everything,
I think
which
that,
is kind of messed up, but...
But I think that that expires when the court that issues it ceases to exist, doesn't it? I mean, that doesn't mean you're... I'm not saying... I mean, courts have
ruled...
Well,
you signed the agreement.
I'm even...
Let's go to the phones, guys. We got Mike and... Guys, let's go to the phones. Mike is on the line in Gold Bar here. You're on Free Talk Live.
Hey, I know it's early in the show, but I couldn't help it when you were talking about there's no cop that's a good cop. So
I didn't
a couple
say that.
Of years ago when
no,
I
but
was
I don't think
I
said that.
Gold, when I was living in Gold Bar, I was playing music at a local bar there, and I'm in a wheelchair, and occasionally people come and feel sorry for you because you're doing something that everybody else does, and they want to do things for you, and I get sick of it, so I don't go play music in bars or any place else anymore because I'm just sick of, you know, you can't be a person. So anyway, this lady comes up to me, and she's dressed up like a sock hop from Fonzie, whatever that was, Happy Days. And her and this thug guy that she's with, they want me to come outside while they smoke. And she wants to put on this some type of a benefit or something to help me to raise money or something. And I'm like, I just want to come down and play some songs. Anyway, today, breaking news on KBKW.
Hold on. So I just want to make sure I'm understanding. You're saying that being in a wheelchair got you certainly more attention, maybe more donations, but it's kind of attention you didn't want. Is that right?
I didn't go there for attention. I went there to have some beers and play a couple songs.
Okay.
Anyway, and it happens kind of a lot with people when I play music. They're just like, oh, you're so special. I'm like, well, no, actually, I'm not. They would never think I was special if I was standing up on 2 feet. That's why. So anyway.
Well, take it from me. That's not better.
Okay.
All right.
So today, Grant County, Washington, ex-police chief gets basically busted for being a pinup girl. It's the lady that was at the bar. So what she does is, and when I say pinup girl, I'm talking about like stock hop car show type women. I don't think it's not like nudity. She's 47 years old.
Yeah.
Anyway, so she was collecting labor in industries. What happened was she had a hanging victim, 285 pounds in Grant County in the town of, it's where the dam is, Cooley or something like that. It fell on her and injured her.
Oh, no.
So her L&I claim is that she can't be around people because she's so freaked out about this dead body falling on her and hurting her. Plus, she was injured so bad that she can't work. But she spends 7 days a week in these bars around Gold Bar and that part of Washington trying to promote. Anyway, I just thought.
So I don't get. I'm missing something here. I'm missing something here. Hang on. More in a moment. I'm not sure what. Is she trying to get money to go hang out in bars? I missed a point there. More coming up here in a moment.
It's
It's Free Talk Live. You can bring up what you want here. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. We're going to talk about politicians and their sons and daughters smoking crack here on Free Talk Live tonight. It's Ian, Nobody, and Chris in the studio. And, of course, you're invited to join us and bring up anything that happens to be on your mind. But I also want to let you know that Free Talk Live is brought to you by Bitcoin.com. You want to go and learn the basics about cryptocurrency. Look, crypto, like Bitcoin and Bitcoin Cash, it's not going away. It's going to get likely more popular over time. You know, I don't like to make predictions, right? Like, I'm not going to go out on a limb and say which cryptocurrency is going to be the top one. Like, Bitcoin's on top right now. It may not be there forever. I don't know what the future looks like, but I'm pretty sure the future is going to include cryptocurrency. I don't feel like that's really going out on a limb. Do you?
I see it every day, so yeah. I don't.
It's not going to get.
Yeah, and I don't see it just in Keene. I see it coming in through my business.
ThinkPenguin.com.
Yeah, and just increasing adoption. So, yeah. Sorry, but
it's
anybody,
not going away.
Anybody who's a naysayer of crypto doesn't understand crypto.
Yeah, you haven't taken the time to look at it, and that's okay. You're busy, but take the time to go to Bitcoin.com and go through the Getting Started section to learn about crypto like Bitcoin and Bitcoin Cash. So I want to bring Mike back here because I'm super confused. Mike, I'm going to try. He's in Gold Bar, Washington. I'm going to try to recap what you said.
Okay.
And I'm sure I'm going to mess something up. You performed.
No.
Let me just try to recap this, please. You performed at a bar. There was a woman there who was feeling sorry for you because you're in a wheelchair. Same woman happens to be a former police chief who had a body fall on her from, it was a hanging, it's like a suicide, that fell on her and caused her some sort of injury. She filed a claim of some sort regarding that, and
then she became a thought?
And I'm not sure what I'm missing or, like, where's it going from here? Like,
wasn't there some pinup girl?
And she was a pinup girl, right.
Where it's going is she got busted. They just announced it today on the news locally. She's being prosecuted. She drew $67,000 in labor and industries, and she was sidelining as a pinup girl promoter.
What is labor and industries? When you say she drew $60,000.
When you get hurt at work. When you get hurt at work, we have what's called labor and industries in Washington State.
Okay.
For not being able to work.
Ah, that was the code. It was the political code that didn't make any sense. That helps me now.
Oh, okay.
Right.
Okay.
So she's been working the whole time as a promoter of special events for people like me to go raise money so she can suck some of it.
I see.
Basically, because she's a... I knew that she had been a police chief the day I met her, but I never trusted her, so I stayed away from her.
Good move.
She was like, all of a sudden, your best friend, but she'd been a cop, and I'm like, something's not right about this. You know,
interesting.
So I avoided her like the plague, but finally it caught up with her, and now...
So she got arrested, and she's been charged with what, fraud of some sort?
Fraud, yes, to the tune of at least $67,000. I just thought it was very hilarious that she ended up being crooked.
That's not even that big of a fraud.
Thanks for tying that. It's felony. Yeah, it's got to be felony level, though.
Oh, yeah, maybe. But
$1,000 is felony.
Yeah, thanks for tying all that together, Mike. I appreciate it. And good instincts to not trust the former police chief who was acting like she wanted to help him. Right, she came along. Oh, you're in a wheelchair. Look at you. Oh,
we can't help you unless you tell us you were there.
So yeah, don't trust the police. You know, there may be some good ones out there, but it's hard to discern, and they may instead arrest you, and you never know what they're going to do.
And this is what happens when you call the cops.
Indeed. So let's go back to the story here about this laptop. Apparently, the story, as I understand it, is this Hunter Biden, who's one of the sons. I don't know how many kids these politicians have, but he's got at least one, and I think I've heard of another one.
I think he had two. One died. The other one's working on it.
Okay, yeah, because this guy is apparently, allegedly, according to photographs that were found on a laptop that the man allegedly brought to a computer repair shop to have something fixed, whatever it was. And maybe he's so cracked out or whatever, but he forgot the laptop. He just left it there. I presume the place tried to contact him. I think that's in the story. You know, they tried to reach out and they couldn't get in touch with him. Maybe his phone got turned off or whatever.
Standard operating procedure.
You were dealing with somebody who had no particular memory because he was a lush. One thing you could do is call him up and say, apropos of nothing, and say, hey, you left your laptop at my shop. Do you want it back?
Mm-hmm.
And he's thinking, oh my God, what's on that laptop? I don't even remember having a laptop. Mm-hmm. That would be interesting human engineering.
Oh, you're saying you would do that to somebody who wasn't Hunter Biden?
No, I would do that to somebody who was high. If I never had any dealings with him, but I wanted to know if he had anything to hide.
I see.
That would be an interesting way to find out is just call him up and say, yeah, you left your laptop here with all the pictures on it.
Okay, just to see how he would react.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there are.
That's the kind of post that sounds like it might end in a jail sentence.
It could be, and who knows what all is on this particular laptop, but so far, the information that has been leaked out, and apparently it was leaked to like the New York Post and Rudy Giuliani, or Rudy Giuliani leaked it to the New York Post or something like that.
Yeah,
so,
you see, Rudy Giuliani is garbage, and that's one of the reasons I distrust this. He was up to his ears in 9/11.
No doubt.
He used to be the mayor of 9/11.
Is Giuliani, is he a Republican? Giuliani?
Yeah, he ran against Ron Paul as the mayor of 9/11.
So anyway, that's the basic story, is this Hunter Biden guy left this laptop, supposedly, and the guy who was fixing it.
Do they report the who the repair shop was in this
they
story?
They do.
That is super interesting. I would not want to be, you know, named as the repair shop. I mean, just the idea.
Well, I think
that
the repair shop is, you know, wants to be involved in this, basically, whoever this guy
I
is.
I would be concerned that people wouldn't trust me with their laptops.
Well, I won't trust this guy with his laptop, with my laptop.
The Trumpers would. The Trumpers would hear this, and they'd love
people
this guy.
People may like it when you do this. Nobody trusts a turncoat.
Yeah, sure.
Not even the people you turn to. I don't trust a turncoat.
Well, now, wait
a
minute.
Just like that lady.
Hold on.
Turncoat.
Now, wait a minute. Hold on. It's the contract that, according to the story, it was a 90-day. If you leave the thing at this computer store for more than 90 days, it becomes the property of the computer store. So he's just doing what he wants with his own property.
But I would erase somebody's hard drive before I sold their computer.
Even if it was Joe Biden's son, you wouldn't want to go
through
that?
Maybe not if it was Joe Biden's son.
There is...
What if it was Joe Biden? Of course you would go through
it. Oh, Joe Biden, I'd sell out in a minute.
What if it was Donald Trump?
But family members are off limits, generally. You don't attack the family members.
There is, you know, I think the problem is that there is, like, what you may have the right to do, and then there is the right, and there's policy,
there's
right?
The right?
And then there's
it's politics, though.
There's the right legal ethics, and then there's the right business ethics.
I'm talking
and
about the business
side. Ethics is that you run a shredder on that hard drive before you sell it.
Yeah, you don't, I mean...
He's not selling it.
Look,
before you do anything with it, you don't invade the privacy of your customers.
Yeah, there
he's
is
not a customer anymore.
That may be,
it's abandoned property.
That might be, but that doesn't necessarily justify that.
What
actions.
If you don't want this customer back?
Then
he's
it's still bad
out
business
in front of your store.
Ethics, and it means that I will not extend to you the trust that I normally extend to business people
to
allow
here.
Them to keep my equipment.
Toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. Look, you guys are absolutely right when it comes to every customer except for politicians and their immediate families. Yeah. Screw them.
If
there's more coming
Biden,
up. You can bring
I'd
up what you want here.
Him,
he's doing deals with Biden.
With
he's doing deals with him. It's not like he's so innocent.
That's true.
Okay?
This is a
news from news.bitcoin.com. Economist claims that value of US dollar will descend by 35% in the next year, and the dollar is the most overrated major currency in the world today. US Federal Reserve is actively working on turning the US dollar into a digital currency. Bitcoin set a new record for time above $10,000 in value. Bitcoin.com is your source for getting started with cryptocurrencies, getting a wallet, buying Bitcoin Cash, mining, and all the latest cryptocurrency news at news.bitcoin.com.
Free Talk Live, dial toll free, bring up whatever you want. The number here is 855-450-FREE. We're talking about an abandoned laptop that was left at a computer repair shop that the 90-day limit expired on as far as how long you can leave things before it just becomes the property of the repair shop. Turns out it was allegedly the laptop of Joe Biden's son. And there are apparently some pretty nasty images on there, including one that is shown in the Daily Mail article about this with what is alleged to be Hunter Biden sleeping in a bed, literally with a crack pipe hanging out of
okay.
his mouth.
Okay, hard for me to believe unless he was sucking an empty pipe, because did he have any crack? Because, I mean, if he had crack left, he's not asleep.
Someone could have put it there, for
you know
sure.
What's crazy
yeah,
LRN.FM.
Sorry, please don't say that word in that context.
Okay. It's crazy just that, you know, this picture came out and they actually admitted it. Like, that's the craziest thing. It's like, oh, yeah, it was me.
Well, I don't know if he's admitted that.
Well,
didn't somebody
kind
acknowledge
of
that he had
indirectly
a drug
in that his lawyers kept trying to get the machine back from the guy.
Well, I mean, he's had a drug problem, supposedly. His dad says he's beaten it.
Right. Thus yeah. It's believable that.
Well,
that,
apparently he's still putting up a little
okay.
of a fight.
It's like it's close to admitting that he had a crack. But the picture's real.
Well, there's better than that.
He's a crackhead. He's a known crackhead.
Remember, that's just one of the things. That's just a photo. There's also a, quote, raunchy, unquote, 12-minute video that appears to show Hunter smoking crack cocaine while engaged in a sex act with an unidentified woman.
So there was no denying this at all, was there?
As well as
sure there is with deep fakes.
Sure. Yeah, that's a good point. As well as numerous other sexually explicit pictures. So, and that is a great point. Yeah, deep fakes are getting really, really good. They're
so what you need
amazing.
Is a post-dated receipt.
I mean,
and I'm telling you what, I'm giving this guy a lot more benefit of the doubt than the liberal media has given Trump. But I will say it's possible. I can also say that there are people in recovery who keep souvenirs of their using days.
Is that right?
So it would be interesting to look at
the dates
on those files, because that may be his reminder of his bottom.
Well, can't those things be faked as well?
And those can be faked as well. Or you might actually keep it because it just happened, but put a little note in your diary saying, this is part of my reminder of my bottom, so nobody asks why you have it.
One thing's for sure that cannot be faked is a payment via the AnyPay 2.0, which is here, and it is better than it's ever been. Fastest crypto payments, I think, that you will see, way faster than a credit card now. It used to be AnyPay 1.0. It might have been like 3 to 10 seconds, you know, usually 3, but sometimes ran a little.
Definitely faster than a credit card.
And that was usually faster than a credit card. Now it's definitely faster. And that's true if you're using specific wallets like Edge Wallet, Handcash, Bitcoin.com, or Dash Wallet. You're going to have no problems if you're using any of those wallets. But if you're using Coinomi, sorry, it's not working right now. Now, the guys at Coinomi apparently are looking at this, and they're considering implementing the necessary changes to make their wallet compatible with AnyPay, which would be awesome. So the idea is, let's encourage them to do that by going to anypayinc.com/upgrade. If you're a Coinomi user, take a moment, go to anypayinc.com/upgrade. You can learn more about why these wallets like Coinomi and Exodus and some of the other ones, they just need to get caught up with the Joneses, so to speak. Here,
there is actually a way to work around that.
Is there?
Which is to put a piece of software called an adapter in between that serves as a client to their servers.
I don't know if the average person is going to be willing to do that.
He will if you implement it right.
Well, you know, right now we're just trying to get the basics taken care of here. Nobody. AnyPayInc.com/upgrade. I don't think we need to get off into the weeds about software development here. On the radio.
No, it's like, are you listening to this conversation? Same conversation I'm listening to. It's kind of funny.
Well, yes, nobody's funny. AnyPayInc.com/upgrade. Go there, get the contact info for Coinomi, and I think Exodus is also there, and a few other wallets that aren't yet quite up to the task of 2020 level payments. So we're back to the story here at the Daily Mail. This is about Hunter Biden. He's the son, or one of the sons, of Joe Biden. And allegedly, there was a laptop that was left at a repair shop. They ended up owning that because it was allegedly abandoned. And some of the material includes some nasty photos and even a video of Hunter Biden engaging in sex while smoking crack. It's no secret. It says here that Hunter has had considerable...
Oh, that brings back such memories.
considerable personal problems. As President Trump has repeatedly mentioned during his election campaign, the twice-married father of five, one child is by a former stripper, has a decades-long history of alcoholism and cocaine addiction, as well as crack cocaine abuse. He was thrown out of the Navy Reserve after failing a drug test. Biden said about...
See, I bust his balls, but he sounds like my kind of guy.
Biden said about him, quote, "My son, like a lot of people we know at home, had a drug problem. He's overtaken it. He's fixed it." And as we pointed out earlier, that's the way that the rich and famous get treated when they have a drug problem. But the other folks, the average folks, get thrown into a jail cell, forced into treatment against their will, forced extraction of their wealth by paying fines to courthouses and police. And of course, that just impoverishes them ever more. They get out of jail after being locked up for 6 months for smoking crack. Then they have no money left whatsoever. They don't have their apartment anymore. They have nowhere to go. Their family has disowned them. And where do they go? Well, into the nearest alley or wherever it is that some people might have some crack for them. A crack house.
It's
or wherever.
True.
So,
crack
I mean,
house, crack alley, crack
yeah,
car, wherever.
This system and this war on drugs does not make things better for the average crack user. But Hunter Biden, no problem. This won't bring him any additional difficulty in his life whatsoever.
No. And the thing is, it shouldn't anybody.
Yeah.
It because there's no point in spending money to ruin the lives of people who are doing a great job of ruining
their own lives
already.
That's right. Yeah.
I mean, the consequences of using drugs should be the consequences of using drugs. No more, no less.
It's just the thought, like crack cocaine too, like of all drugs, like you got enough problems there, buddy. Do we really need to make the situation worse?
Well, if you're an egomaniac, which I have a little bit of experience with, and you smoke crack, you feel like a god for a little while.
Which, bet you don't look like one.
Oh no, you don't look like one. You look like precious.
Yeah. But even if the shocking new images will hardly tell well-informed voters anything they didn't already know, they're unlikely to bolster Biden's image as a wholesome alternative to the current president.
What has it got in its pockets?
However, while Hunter has a controversial business record, Republicans have previously struggled to show his father was involved in it. Mr. Biden,
my birthday present,
currently has a sizable poll lead over Trump, but so did Hillary Clinton in 2016 before the FBI chief at the time explosively announced he was reopening an investigation to her emails days before the election. That hasn't been lost on either Republicans or Democrats. According to the New York Post, the emails reveal Hunter Biden introduced his father, then U.S. vice president, to a senior executive at Ukrainian energy company Burisma less than a year before Mr. Biden put pressure on government officials to sack a prosecutor who was investigating the business. So if in case you thought for a moment Hunter Biden was just some innocent little crackhead son... No, he
crack
introduced
head, son.
He introduced
mow the lawn.
is that an actual like parody song?
It's a parody of Black Hole's son.
Yeah.
But it starts with a reference to a bodily part instead.
Okay, but it's a real parody. Like you're not just cooking this up right now.
Well,
on the spot.
It was Black Hole Son. I went to Crackhead
okay.
Son.
So you did cook it up. Very good.
A little bit. I cooked up that Crackhead.
Hunter Biden introduced Joe Biden to the Ukrainian company.
But did he introduce him to crack?
That is the important question.
And not from Arion Barry. Yeah. He got reelected.
So, and what are the other photographs of on this particular laptop? There's a lot of rumors streaming around 4chan and the rest of the internet. You're welcome to weigh in on this. Maybe you've heard something or seen something. 855-450-FREE. Of course, how do you know if it actually came from this laptop and was it actually his? It's Free Talk Live, and you can join us here. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. With you in the studio tonight, Ian.
Nobody.
And Chris.
And also, I want to say thank you to Bonnie666, who is a Free Talk Live Silver Amplifier helping the show out via the AMP program at amp.freetalklive.com for $5 a month. Really appreciate it, Bonnie666. So thank you for getting behind the show. The AMP program stands for Advertise, Market, and Promote. It helps us get Free Talk Live onto more radio stations. We've got over 190 great stations that air the show at various different times throughout the week across the United States and beyond. And we can have more. We can, you know, we can get to 250 or 300. It just takes time. It takes money. It takes effort. And the AMP program helps us with that. So go to amp.freetalklive.com. You can join the AMP program there, like Bonnie666 over at ampamp.freetalklive.com. So according to the New York Post, which is this is being reported also in the Daily Mail, Hunter Biden, the son of Joe Biden, apparently connected somehow to a Ukrainian energy company named Burisma before Mr. Biden put pressure on government officials in Ukraine to fire a prosecutor who was investigating the very same business that his son introduced him to the board of directors. So did you follow that? So, just to be clear, Hunter Biden isn't some sort of innocent family member, right? You go, we were talking earlier about this computer store. Like, hold on. We were talking earlier about the computer store and the idea that you guys as computer tech guys, and you know, I've done my share of computer repair too, so I don't disagree with you. Generally, if a customer leaves something with you, you would want to completely eliminate whatever that data was once they've, you know, if they've left it there and they've forgotten about it, if you've tried to reach out to them and they're not responding, eventually it becomes your property and you can do what you want with it. And the appropriate thing to do is to wipe the hard drive. I don't disagree with you. But if it is a crime syndicate's boss's son, then I don't think there's anything wrong with going through that stuff.
I would probably go through it if in that case. I would probably use, I mean, there was stuff on there that incriminated the father, so the son was an accomplice in crime. Yeah, okay, I would in that special case.
Right.
Just because, why did they leave their laptop with somebody who's at war with them?
He's
anyway?
A crackhead. He probably left it there and forgot all about it.
I don't know. This it just. I don't know. I don't.
He's
I
got
like
enough money where he doesn't need to pawn it.
The pipe is so convenient.
This is
though.
This is using one wrong to justify the other, and I just don't know. It just seems too dirty for me. I am okay.
It's politics.
It's too dirty for me too.
That's, I am that's, okay.
That's why nobody tells the truth, even though he's a politician and that's not his job.
I'm okay with throwing that computer out, and if somebody else finds it and extracts the data from it and publishes it, not my problem.
Okay, but wait.
But would
you, let me ask you a question about that. Okay.
Yeah.
So. You're throwing it out. Do you call the Keene Activist Center or whoever, right, like in town and let them know, hey, by the way, we just put out in the garbage a laptop that was owned by Hunter Biden that's currently in our garbage
First
bin.
First thing I do.
Right now.
I call Hunter Biden's lawyer.
Uh-huh.
And I tell him that I'm having an auction. Okay.
Oh, wow. All right.
And
that's that's not
that
blackmail,
auction
right?
will be used as a restitution fund for drug war victims, starting with me because it's
now,
my
that's
idea.
That's creative.
You know, and I'll start the bidding.
10,000
at
20,000 a million.
I was thinking a million.
A million. That seems
like
a good amount.
$1 million.
Yeah.
But like with the National Enquirer in on the bidding, and with Fox News in on the bidding, and maybe even Rudy Giuliani.
You know, with these tactics,
who
you might...
Who knows?
Now, wait, would you do that?
With these, I don't think I could go that far.
I could go that far.
With these...
I could go that far because then I'm not jacking him on my own behalf.
Right.
I'm jacking him on the behalf of a nation that they went
beautiful.
To war with 100 years ago
so
for no reason.
With these tactics, you may want to have a backup copy of the disc because I can see them coming in.
Oh, they're probably going to come
you know,
whack
thugs,
me.
Thugs coming in and maybe not whack you, but whack that drive if they can identify
that's a good
where it
point.
Is.
Make sure you have a backup.
What you want to do is put it out as a torrent encrypted
with a dead
and
man
then
switch.
Have a dead man switch that compromises your key as soon as you're dead.
I hope
and
whoever
half a
finds
dozen
the next
different
lap-
lawyers.
Whoever finds the next
that.
Laptop is listening because this is a great idea. Yeah. take this idea. So according to the emails, one of them in the emails, one of them says, quote, thanks for an opportunity to meet your father, unquote, from Vadim Poharsky, an advisor to Burisma's board, again, the Ukrainian energy company that benefited from knowing Joe Biden because he got the government to stop prosecuting them. It was sent to Hunter Biden about a year after he joined the company's board on a reported salary of up to $50,000 per month.
Whoa.
A lucrative appointment. That
buys a lot of precious.
A lucrative appointment that has long fueled Republican accusations of possible corruption in the Biden family and a conflict of interest issue for the supposedly squeaky clean senator.
Can't you just imagine him? You don't know me. I'm a Biden. My dad was vice president. I got boulders the size of your head. You call them rocks, I call them boulders, because you chip your rocks off my boulders.
An earlier email sent in May of 2014 from the same person at Burisma, from Burisma's number three executive, according to the Post, asks Hunter Biden for, quote, advice on how you could use your influence, unquote, on the company's behalf. The Post said the course, and so he got this seat on the company's board. You know, they wanted him to use his influence to benefit the company. They gave him a seat on the board, paying up to $50,000 per month. Can you imagine?
Oh, not just that. He got millions, like over $3 million from the wife of the mayor of like Leningrad or something, or Stalingrad.
What was that for?
Well, we don't know. Mm. Maybe he's a fine lover, but maybe
it's something else. Maybe he's
got a tongue like an electric eel on speed and he can hold his breath for a long time.
Maybe that email is also on this laptop. The Post said the computer correspondence, reportedly amounting to some 40,000 emails and thousands of text messages, quote, flies in the face, unquote, of Joe Biden's claim that he has never spoken, quote, never spoken to my son about his overseas business dealings, unquote. However, while the emails published by the Post may suggest Biden Jr. was ready to trade on his father's influence, they don't definitively show the vice president ever did meet any Burisma executive. The Biden campaign insisted yesterday its record showed no such meeting ever took place.
Also, no printed receipts were found for any crack in Biden's possession.
A Biden spokesman said the newspaper, quote, never asked the Biden campaign about the critical elements of this story. Moreover, we've reviewed Joe Biden's official schedules from the time, and no meeting, as alleged by the New York Post, ever took place. The spokesman stressed that successive investigations, including by two Republican-led Senate committees, had all concluded, quote, that Joe Biden carried out official U.S. policy toward Ukraine and engaged in no wrongdoing. Unquote.
And we've got the best government money can buy, so you can take that to the bank.
Because, the government's totally going to indict the former vice president, right? Yeah. That's going to happen.
Well, and the guy is clearly the favorite boy of the deep state.
He's untouchable.
That's who the media loves.
He's so untouchable, he actually molests children while on video in public.
Yes.
That's
it's
what
the craziest thing I've ever seen. Yep. I can't believe
Joe Biden.info. JoeBiden.info.
Is there actual video of him?
Go watch
him molesting.
He caresses these children in front of their parents. Like, it looks like they're being offered as human sacrifices. Mm-hmm.
See it for yourself. JoeBiden.info. The Trump campaign claimed, meanwhile, the Biden team response confirms that the information on the computer hard drive is genuine. Some skeptics claim they may have been faked. Social media giants attempted to slow the spread of the story until its credibility could be checked. Now, this is another interesting aspect to the story.
Oh, yeah. I've never heard of that before. Have they ever slowed the release of any news about Trump?
Nope.
For the credibility to be checked?
Twitter flagged the material as, quote, unsafe, unquote, as part of its new election posting rules, while Facebook said it would rely on fact-checking partners to decide if the post report was legitimate.
The unsafe rating apparently came from their election rigging department, who thought it might be incompatible with their mission of rigging the election. Mm.
Trump's spokesman claimed the Biden campaign's carefully worded response did not preclude the possibility that he did meet the Ukrainian, saying, quote, Americans deserve a full accounting of the conversations Joe Biden had with Hunter and what Joe Biden discussed with Vadim Poharsky. But of course, if they get all of that, it's not like it's going to change anything. If Joe Biden falls because of this, well, then you just get Kamala Harris. So
You're going to get her anyway. I don't think Joe Biden's going to live much longer, right, being the liability that he has and also senile. He doesn't know how to watch his back. He doesn't know what's going on.
Toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450.
Hillary Clinton's going to hang him.
3733. It's Free Talk Live.
Looking for a great real estate investment? Consider New Hampshire, which is ground zero for the Liberty Movement. Your first call should be to Mark Worden from Porcupine Real Estate. He's more than just a real estate agent. He's your New Hampshire concierge. Where are the best places to live? Do you want farm, city, the burbs, or forest? Do you want a duplex or multifamily building so that renters pay your mortgage? There are homes in all price ranges in New Hampshire, and Mark can help with financing too. Invest in liberty and property. Mark Worden can help.
PorcupineRealEstate.com.
Free Talk Live.
This is Free Talk Live, and you can bring up whatever you want. Although we are talking about crack-smoking politicians and their kids. In this case, the son of Joe Biden. His name is Hunter, and apparently the allegations are a laptop was left at a computer repair center, and it was left there and never picked up again. So it became the property of said repair center. We'll get back into the background of that story, and what was found includes supposed.
See, that's
photos.
Why I kept the girls on my laptop, because I have no memory.
I expect there are going to be photos of some sort of females on here. We don't know in what age range or whatever, but
speaking of which,
come out later.
Interesting thing that I've heard. I haven't been able to confirm it. But supposedly, Joe Biden owns an island.
No.
It's really? One of the Virgin Islands.
Does he really?
Right by Epstein.
No way, really?
Which is interesting, because the one thing you could say about Joe Biden is he's never been on Epstein's flight log. Isn't that interesting?
Now, wait, you said you haven't confirmed this.
I have not confirmed this.
Okay. So this could just be an internet rumor.
Yes, I'm doing a trumpet job on him now. I'm talking about him like MSNBC would talk about Trump. By the way, I don't like Trump. Trump is also both of the candidates are monsters,
no doubt.
But I'm going to give my ranked choice endorsement during this segment.
All right.
I think.
So if you want to comment on this laptop situation, which has some pretty interesting photos and videos, apparently Hunter Biden smoking crack while having sex in a 12-minute long video.
With a prostitute?
I believe that is what they said.
It really should be. It's not properly done if it's not a prostitute. Is it an underage prostitute?
Well, there are rumors about this video. I don't think it has been released publicly.
I wonder Epstein video.
We've got to talk about where did it occur? Where was the picture taken? Because if it was in New Hampshire, it's different than if it's in Texas.
We're talking, there's a difference between there's a picture and then there's a video. So there's a picture that is not from the video, just him laying.
Was the video taken on a hidden camera is the interesting
question.
Not clear.
Because
this sounds like blackmail material.
And here's the other problem. If there's a picture and they're in possession of it, that's illegal, but it wasn't necessarily illegal for the, depending on where it was taken, for the act to occur in the first place.
We don't know enough about the video.
Well, it doesn't need to be, because the importance of this is what it does to the election.
It matters because it determines whether or not there was a crime committed by Biden, or if it's the computer shop that's going to get prosecuted.
I don't think that has anything to do with who's breaking the law.
Why would the computer shop be prosecuted case?
If there's a sexual picture of some kind of somebody under 18,
right,
that would be illegal. That would be considered, illegal
possession.
You would
generally be expected to turn that over to the FBI.
Right. So they have child porn or something, at least that's illegal. Okay. Mm-hmm. If the girl is 16, it's not illegal to have sex with her in New Hampshire. Maybe it is in Texas, mm-hmm. but not in New Hampshire. So depending.
Did he have sex with her in Texas?
Well,
or
we
New
don't
Hampshire?
Know. We don't know. But
the Delaware,
if it was,
I think the Bidens are from Delaware.
If it wasn't, and I don't know what the
law is.
It could
have been the Virgin Islands, in
I don't
which
know what
case.
I don't know whether it was done. And that's the question. That's why it's important. Where was that picture taken? Was it mm-hmm. in New Hampshire? Was it in some place where it was illegal?
Well, we don't know what the photos are at this point. All we know is that there's a photo mm-hmm. of him with a crack pipe hanging out of his mouth, laying in bed, and allegedly there's a video of him having sex while smoking crack. So that's I don't know anything about anything else, right?
What are the
other photos? We don't know at this point. Ostensibly, there will be more released as we get closer to the election, according to the New York Post and the Daily Mail reporting here. Let's see here. The water-damaged laptop was dropped off at a computer repair shop in Delaware, which is Biden's home state, in April of 2019. The customer who brought in the computer reportedly never paid for the repair or came back to collect it, despite repeated attempts by the shop to contact him. Now, it's not saying that the customer was Hunter Biden. That's not clear here. The laptop was said to have carried a sticker from the Beau Biden Foundation, a charity named after Hunter's late brother, former Delaware Attorney General. So his brother was the top cop in Delaware. This is a very connected,
interesting
political family. The Post said
you
the laptop.
You know who else had an attorney general as a brother?
Nope.
JFK.
Oh, okay. And I believe Kamala Harris was an attorney general in California as well. The Post said the laptop and its hard drive were seized by the FBI last December after the shop owner alerted authorities to their existence.
So there might have been something illegal on it.
There may have been. In fact, that's what I first heard about
this
from my roommate who came down to show me a thread on 4chan. That was suggesting that people on 4chan, you know, it's just a 4chan thread, right? So who knows what the truth is. But they were saying that that dozens of people in the media already have some evidence that suggests that this was perhaps some underage pornography on this particular computer. So the FBI seized the laptop. However, the store owner said he first made a copy of the hard drive and gave it to Giuliani's lawyer, Robert Costello. In a further twist,
now that's distribution.
That is distribution.
Now distribution too.
In a further twist, former chief Trump advisor Steve Bannon reportedly told the newspaper about the hard drive's existence last month, and Giuliani handed over a copy on the weekend. The Senate Homeland Security Committee, run by Republican Ron Johnson, said it's been contacted by the whistleblower who had the laptop and is looking into the matter. In another email published by the Post,
and the whistleblower, does that mean the person who is with young Biden in the video?
It says the person who had the laptop. Not that one. A week before, Joe Biden, in another email, showing Hunter Biden attempting to exploit his connections to his father, he repeatedly referred to his father as, quote, my guy, unquote, in a memo to his former business partner, who also sat on the Ukrainian energy company board. A week before, Joe Biden, the Ukraine policy chief under President Obama, held a press conference in the country with the prime minister in April of 2014. Hunter wrote to the Burisma board member, quote, the announcement of my guy's upcoming travels should be characterized as part of our advice and thinking, but what he will say and do is out of our hands. In other words, it could be a really good thing, or it could end up creating too great an expectation. We need to temper expectations regarding that visit, unquote. In the same email, he said his contract with Burisma, quote, should begin right now, not after the upcoming visit of my guy. And should be around.
He wants to get paid up front.
Yep. And should be around $25,000 per month with, quote, additional fees where appropriate for more in-depth work, unquote.
Wow.
Yeah.
Crackhead ain't too smart. All I hear is precious.
And not including the fee for sitting on the board. So remember, earlier in this discussion, it was revealed that he was getting paid up to $50,000 a month to sit on the board of directors of this Ukrainian energy company.
So the $50,000 was to entertain the bribes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, to even listen to the bribes.
I guess so.
And then the bribes were on top of that.
Right. $25,000 a month on top, he said.
Yeah. My guy.
Hunter added.
My guy.
Right.
It's all right, Charlie. I got an angle.
So what is this really going on here? I mean, if he's referring to his dad as my guy, then
this is weed guy, is power guy, is or government is, guy.
Yeah, he's directing his, you know, 70 something year old father who has incredible political power
and incredible senility.
Yes, to go and do him favors with these Ukrainian corporations. That's the way it sounds. Right. Now, of course, he's using my guy to avoid referring to his dad by name as well. In that particular case.
Well, how many guys does he have? Does he have a basement full of guys?
He's only got one guy who's the former vice president, though, I'll tell you that.
That's true.
I'm sure there's a basement full of guys. I mean, that's just what happens in politics.
Yeah.
Hunter added,
somebody's got to bury the body.
Yeah.
In the email, quote, "This could be the break we've been waiting for if they really are smart enough to understand our long-term value," unquote. The two partners, he went on, quote, "could be invaluable in expanding their operations outside Ukraine." Unquote. He is, by the way, a trained lawyer, this Hunter guy, and former lobbyist.
Dumb as a bag of hammers.
So, like, in case you needed to know this guy, in case you still thought at this point in the story that this guy isn't a corrupt scumbag, he was a lawyer and a lobbyist.
Oh, that ship sailed a long time ago.
I mean, besides cop, these are two of the worst, most corrupt. This is Free Talk Live. You can bring up anything that you want here. Our toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. And with you in the studio tonight, you've got Ian.
Nobody.
And Chris.
By the way, I do want to tell you about ForkFest, which is coming up in 2021. And we had a great ForkFest this year. It was the fourth. This year, next year, it was literally on the 4th of July.
Can we say fourth annual?
It was the fourth annual,
now?
Yeah.
Because it's been annual for 4 years?
Yeah, you could say the second annual as soon as it was the second one.
It is true.
And so this will be the fifth one coming up in 2021. You can go to forkfest.party and you can learn more about the event there. It's an unofficial website.
It hit five. Keep Joe Biden away from it.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to be wanting to attend this because it is a libertarian decentralized camping festival and it was great this year. So if you want to bring your talents to ForkFest, you can just, of course, come and hang out with other liberty-minded folks, or you can bring something to do. You can create a thing for people to engage in, whether that be there was a poker table this year, lots of people were cooking, which was really cool. So there was even a concert and there was fireworks as well, because it happens Independence Day. That is a great excuse to come up to New Hampshire and hang out with other freedom-minded folks. Just go to forkfest.party and mark your calendar right now for June 28th through July 4th, 2021. As we go to your phone calls and thoughts, we got Matt on the line in Florida watching us on Twitch over our Twitch channel at twitch.lrn.fm. Go ahead, Matt.
What's up, guys? Can't wait for Nobody Tells the Truth tonight. I wanted to mention about the Hunter Biden, and this is just conjecture on my part. But Joe Biden's one son, I forget his name, he was a war hero or whatnot and got medals and this and that. He died of brain cancer, but then he's got this other, and I'm not going to cuss, but a piece of crap, son. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure, when he's out golfing or he's at the Bohemian Grove, worshiping owls or whatnot, the buddies, oh, what's your son Hunter doing, these guys are 74 years old, grandpas and all of them are. Sometimes they, my son, he's a CEO over in the UK, Burisma Gas Company. He's doing great. He's making $100,000 a month, So I think that also gets into these guys, especially when they've been in politics for 40 years. And Biden has, feels like he has this hubris. He went on the council for.
What did you say? He has hubris? Did you say he has hubris?
Yes. Okay. They get this feeling that they're above the law because they pretty much
seems
are.
Like they are.
Hubris is an occupational hazard.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then he was on the Council of Foreign Relations and bragged about how they're going to withhold $1 billion from Ukraine if the prosecutor that was looking into that gas company wasn't fired. And he said, "I'm leaving in 6 hours." And by golly, in 6 hours, that guy was fired. I mean, the guy is just either demented or cognitive disabilities. Or he's just hubris. I don't know what else you guys can think of.
It could be all of the above.
Think about it.
Could be all three.
Yeah. So I think, he wants to brag up his son. Yeah, he's CEO at a gas company in Ukraine. And, I don't think
this guy's CEO of anything. I mean,
what year did.
Well, no, of course not.
What year did Biden's other son die?
I have no clue.
He had brain cancer.
But what year?
Wasn't that long ago, 2013, 14 maybe?
13, okay, so it's after Biden got out of office.
No,
Biden would have been during office. Well, okay. Because they say when you get to the highest level of the Illuminati, you have to offer a family member as a sacrifice.
Ooh, thank you, Matt, for the call tonight. I appreciate it. Toll-free numbers, 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. So, you know, that's basically the story as to where it sits right now. There's an interesting photo of this guy with a crack pipe hanging out of his mouth, which, again, it could have been set
there. I'm sorry.
There.
That's so hard for that to have happen. You know, the other possibility. Okay,
but it's funny.
Let me play devil's advocate for a moment and say that although it's very nice to believe this, it's also all very convenient. What if the Russians set up that laptop the same way they set up Trump's dossier?
I don't know, but it's pretty entertaining. So if you hear anything new, you want to jump into the discussion, you're welcome to do that. Coming up, we've got a story, Chris, you're going to share with us about Amazon and some really bad news out of the UK, which it's going to involve screwing over the third-party Amazon sellers. And we'll talk about it coming up here in moments. But also, speaking of screwing people over, the U.S. federal government, the Department of Justice, according to Coindesk.com, which is a cryptocurrency news site, has, quote, fired a warning to crypto exchanges worldwide. Comply with U.S. law or face the potential wrath of the federal government. So they're telling exchanges, companies that are based all across the planet, that you better obey our laws or else, even if you aren't based in the United States. It's crazy.
I don't know. There's something to be said for putting all the exchanges out of business.
Well, I mean, and we do need to see the rise of decentralized exchanges, but which one is going to be, you know, actually useful? So far, I haven't really encountered
any. I mean, they all seem to be useful in that the software works, everything works except having customers there. So how do you get the customers there? Shut down all the exchanges if you can.
Well, they won't be able to do that, but they're going to make trouble.
I mean, would they not be able to shut down all the exchanges if they wanted to? What country
globally,
is going to say you can't do it?
Well, China?
China has outlawed crypto more than once on its own behalf.
I'm pretty sure there's still Chinese exchanges out there.
There are.
Yeah.
Because there are also Chinese miners. Mm-hmm. So the Chinese are torn between the money they make mining. Mm-hmm. But they could shut down all the exchanges and not have a problem. Maybe the government becomes the exchanges.
So last week, the DOJ published an 83-page cryptocurrency enforcement framework detailing its approach to the nascent space and discussing potential crimes. The document also suggested the U.S. government would enforce its laws regardless of where exchanges, referred to as virtual asset service providers, that's the legalese for exchange, they had to add, you know, a bunch of words to it, or VASPs, are based. In other words, these exchanges should comply with U.S. laws, even for their non-U.S. customers. Quote, this is an excerpt from their 83-page document. The department has also has robust authority to prosecute VASPs and other entities and individuals that violate U.S. law, even when they are not located inside the United States, where virtual asset transactions touch financial, data storage, or other computer systems within the United States, the department generally has jurisdiction to prosecute the actors who direct or conduct those transactions.
Wow.
Yeah, that doesn't at all surprise me. So, I think traditionally they effectively have claimed ownership over anything that touches U.S. dollars. So
it's insane.
Yeah, it's like if you deal in U.S. dollars, the U.S. government claims ownership of you.
Our toll-free number here, if you want to join us, 855-450-FREE. We'll tell you more about what's going on with this particular story.
Withdraw your consent. Go all crypto.
Yeah, absolutely. But can you get it?
That's the tricky part,
is getting on these exchanges.
You can get it from me.
Yeah, good point. There's more coming up here. 855-450-FREE like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. You can take control of the airwaves. Bring up what you want here on Free Talk Live.
From New York Times and Wall Street Journal bestselling author Larry Correa comes the latest chapter in the epic military fantasy saga of The Forgotten Warrior, when the Grand Inquisitor perverts the law in his genocidal plot to kill every man, woman, and child in the Untouchable cast. Only the traitor, Ashok Vidal, and the Sons of the Black Sword stand in his way. If it's war he wants, it is war he will get. Bane Books presents Destroyer of Worlds. Available September 1st, wherever books are sold. Visit MonsterHunterNation.com for more.
Yeah, you should call in if you want to talk about whatever is on your mind. You can take control of the airwaves here on Free Talk Live. Ian, Nobody, and Chris here in the studio tonight. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. We also have a way for you to call in through our new Matrix chat server, which I got to say, people are saying they really like. I really like it so far. I think it's better than what we used to have, and so I think that the thing we had previously was proof that such a chat server was valuable, that people wanted it, but now we've got our own server, and no one can take it down.
This is much better.
Yeah, it's definitely better, and it allows users to create their own chat rooms, which is cool. They could be private, they could be public, which is awesome, and you get to do your own administration of all that, so check it out at chat.lrn.fm. That's where you get the instructions on how to set up your own account. Yeah, it sounded like you wanted to add something there.
Yeah, I mean, you can say what you want. You can do what you want, and nobody's nobody's going to attack you for it.
Yeah,
is there a
at
toxic
least,
user
that's
zone?
Pretty much true. Yes, and it's run by a toxic user now.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's great.
But we can banish people there?
No.
Admins cannot banish them.
Nope. You have no way of banishing people from one channel to another or whatever. So, no, it doesn't. It's not essentially.
Is that available as an add-on, maybe?
Because
you could have a bot that was authorized as an admin that just whenever anybody on a blacklist joined the channel, they booted them automatically. That's what they do
maybe,
on IRC.
Maybe, but I wouldn't want to have that on this server. I like it that people can create their own channels without us being able to tell them they can or can't. I mean, if there was some sort of channel that we found out was like putting the server in jeopardy of like a police raid or something, we would definitely do whatever command we needed to at the command line interface to delete that channel. That can be done.
Yeah, just to be clear, this is not a Tor Onion hidden service.
Right. We have records. Right. Yeah. So that could be done. But no, I wouldn't want to tell somebody that they have to have our bot in their channel or be subject to our administration of that.
I wouldn't say that, but I would like to say to people that you can put our bot in your channel to restrict the channel to certain people.
Okay.
While leaving
well, you can
it
write
public.
A bot if you want, I guess. Do they have bots for Matrix servers?
They have plugins of different sorts, but a bot is just a client that is not operated by a human.
Yeah.
So you can make a bot for anything that's client server.
To be honest, I'm not that familiar with administering channels. I know you can like kick people if you're an admin.
Sure. And you can also admin or mod other people.
I don't know. Does it allow you to add people to another room automatically? Or not automatically, just manually?
You can only invite them.
You can invite them. So maybe what would happen would be if you had a bot, if you wrote a bot or a plugin or whatever, you would want to have it kick the user and then have them invited to the other room, to the toxic user zone.
Right, presuming the bot was also in that toxic user zone, but it may not be because it's being run by a toxic user. So I don't know if the toxic user zone operator would want this bot in the zone.
Well, you
can
have more than one toxic user
zone. Yeah, you could.
If you
could.
Make a new cage for each animal if you have to.
But then you're in competition with the existing toxic user zone, which is one of the top 10 channels on the server right now. So it's, I think, in the top 5, actually, top 6. So, he's got a head start on you. Anyway, the toll-free number here is 855-450-FREE if you want to join us on the air here. We're talking about the Department of Justice that has put out an 83-page crypto, because stuff's always long with these bureaucrats. They just love to hear themselves talk. 83-page enforcement framework for cryptocurrency that basically is telling every exchange around the planet that if their virtual asset transactions, quote, touch financial, data storage, or other computer systems within the United States, the department generally has jurisdiction to prosecute the actors who direct or conduct those transactions.
I don't think it's been emphasized just what this means. I mean, basically what the U.S. government is saying.
Every other country in the world has lost its sovereignty.
Well, yeah, but basically what they're saying is that if let's say two foreigners in, I don't know, let's say Mexico, right?
Mm-hmm.
Somebody gets a dollar from, you know, a tourist, right? They are now, and they exchange a dollar with, say, another Mexican. That other Mexican is now under the sovereignty is under the oppression of the U.S. government, basically.
Well, that's not what they're saying in this document.
No, but that's effectively what they're saying, what the U.S. government has said in regards to.
It's not what they're saying, but it is what they're implying.
It's especially when it comes to banks, right?
But so, the reality is a cash transaction exchanging in Mexico is going to be completely off the radar of the U.S. federal government.
No, but they're claiming. They could
have a war on crypto,
right?
Like a war on drugs
if they wanted to.
He's talking about cash.
Their jurisdiction is effectively, right? So it's about that. That's the thing that's so concerning.
Right, but their jurisdiction is only over the things that they can reach. So there's no need to be concerned about a dollar being transacted between two Mexicans.
In practical terms,
they reach
maybe not.
Julian They're Assange concerned, by using but Assange the, hold on. By using the, somebody else's
In terms
government.
Of the outrage.
I understand that.
That's why people that, like I mean think of that's what they're claiming.
I get what you're saying,
yeah.
But that's not a concern for the guys in Mexico. They're not going to be investigated by the federal government. They want to go after people that have money.
Right.
They want to go after the centralized targets.
Sure.
They don't know when I go to Mexico and give a waiter, you know, a tip in cash. They have no idea and they don't care about that. But if a centralized exchange has a, you know, a pot of money they're sitting on, and they all do, then that is going to attract these gangsters, and they're going to target those people.
Even if it's a Mexican exchange.
That's the point.
Yeah,
exactly.
Which means that they're reserving the right to put every crypto exchange in the world out of business.
Correct.
Yeah.
That's the concern. That's what we need to focus on here. So,
I mean, I think it's way more than that. It's just that that's what they're focusing on right now.
But that's because they can detect it. They can't detect cash moving around in the same way they can't detect Monero, the privacy cryptocurrency, from moving around. But they absolutely know where all these centralized exchanges are, and they know who's doing business with them, and they know, you know, or they can find out, right?
Because they can transact.
They can identify the wallets, and then they can watch them because Bitcoin is a public blockchain. Anybody can look at these wallets and see what's going on. So the document came just days after prosecutors with the U.S. Attorney's Office in New York, Southern District, brought charges against a crypto trading platform named BitMEX, which is headquartered in Seychelles. Didn't we talk about them a couple weeks ago?
Yeah, we did. Last week.
Right. And its leaders, some of whom do not reside in the United States. So this is related directly to that story. This is a special counsel to the Electronic Frontier Foundation, Marta, with an unfortunate last name of Belcher. Quote, I do think this is definitely a warning shot about cryptocurrency exchanges that are located outside of the U.S., she said. Interpreted broadly, according to CoinDesk, the DOJ's framework can also have implications for international exchanges that it may at one point may have had or sorry, that have or at one point had customers in the U.S. Exchanges, for instance, that pulled out of the U.S. may not be safe either based on the BitMEX charges.
Well, and it goes even further than that because they're actually saying that even if you weren't targeting U.S. customers or people in the U.S.
If someone shows up on your
site. If somebody accessed your site from the U.S.
Maybe they used a VPN.
Right, exactly. You are somehow under the United States jurisdiction.
It's outrageous.
It is absolutely
outrageous. That's
exactly
what they're saying here.
And it's interesting because there's conflicting rulings in other cases, like copyright cases and similar, where it's kind of gone back and forth of, you know, it's not
clear. The courts say they are, then they aren't.
I mean, the government claims the jurisdiction, but, you know, is that actually what the law is? And it's back and forth between the courts because there's no clear Supreme Court ruling on it.
As they point out here, it's not to say that every exchange operating outside the U.S. is at risk or the federal government is declaring open season on platforms that it believes should be complying with its laws. Still, overseas exchanges that might have exposure to the U.S. should take note. The DOJ framework notes that the U.S. has had anti-money laundering / countering the financing of terrorism. Oh, they've added a new – I've not heard this one yet. So I've heard of AML, but apparently there's also CFT. So there's KYC. These are the acronyms the government throws around.
If I'm not mistaken, I think what they're talking about is when, I don't know if you've ever noticed this, but have you ever received like a charge from your bank when you've sent a payment to somebody overseas through PayPal?
No.
Yeah. So if you're, if the money comes out of your bank account and not from like a balance.
Oh, see, I don't do that.
Right. It would end up causing PayPal to withdraw funds from your bank. Uh-huh. But your bank has to know who the funds end up going to.
Really?
And so your bank might charge you $10. It's absolutely insane.
Wow. 855-450-FREE. You want to talk about the freedom to exchange? That is under severe threat these days. And you can join us here. 855-450-3733. You can also bring up whatever you want. This is Free Talk Live. This is Free Talk Live, and you can bring up whatever you want here. All you have to do, dial toll-free, and you can join us. Take control of the airwaves, 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. In the studio with you tonight, you've got Ian.
Nobody.
And Chris.
And Nobody Tells the Truth, as mentioned earlier by one of our callers, is going to be on tonight at 10:30 Eastern Time, or thereabouts. We start around 10:30 on our Twitch and DLive streams exclusively. You can go to dlive.lrn.fm or twitch.lrn.fm, and you can subscribe or follow either of those channels, and then you'll be able to watch Nobody Tells the Truth tonight at 10:30 Eastern Time, hosted by Nobody.
So yeah, nobody will be here.
We're talking about a threat that was issued, a 83-page cryptocurrency enforcement framework, which just sounds awful. I'm sure there's a heck of a lot of other bad things in these 83 pages, but in this case, Coindesk.com is focusing on the threat that the U.S. Department of Justice is basically saying they can prosecute anybody whose so-called virtual asset transactions touch financial, data storage, or other computer systems within the United States. So if you use a VPN, virtual private network, and thinkpenguin.com sells one of these services.
True.
Penguin VPN, I believe it's called, over at thinkpenguin.com. So check that out if you're looking for a VPN. But if you're using a VPN and then you connect to a cryptocurrency exchange not located inside the United States, a foreign exchange that specifically restricts U.S. customers, the exchange says, hey, we don't want you here if you're from the United States, and they may be, you know, identifying your IP address, and if you're in the U.S., the IP address is in the U.S., they may be blocking you from even logging in or registering on that website. There are exchanges like this.
Yep.
I'm trying to think of it's not Shapeshift. They went total KYC. There's another one like Shape. I'm forgetting what it is. There's another one out there, like one of these exchanges where you don't have to register for anything, where it's completely, you know, Sideshift?
I don't even know the names of the exchanges anymore, or the, yeah. I don't know if you call them exchanges, but yeah, I know what you're talking about. But I don't even know what they are anymore, because it's all built into Edge Wallet now, and so it's so simple to do an exchange.
Edge does have multiple, I believe, exchanges built in, which is nice. But for some people that want to, you know, be off the radar, right? Like they don't want to have any kind of wallet, or, you know, they get their own full node.
Is another one. I don't know if they do KYC.
I don't know either, but I know Sideshift does not. So I just looked it up. I remembered what it was called. Sideshift.ai. When you go there from the United States, there's a big banner at the top that says access denied, country blocked, learn why. And then when you click on learn why, it gives you a list of blocked countries, and it says the United States is right there in the list. It's in the top three, right after North Korea and right before
that's great,
Iran. Okay, so North Korea, USA, Iran, Belarus, Cuba, Eritrea, and Syria, some of the worst places on the planet, and the United States on the same list together. So it says residents of these countries may not use Sideshift.ai. But if you go on a VPN and your VPN is located anywhere outside of those seven countries, then you can use this website. And so now the U.S. federal government is saying that if a U.S. person goes to Sideshift.ai through a VPN, that now they can prosecute Sideshift.ai.
It's absolutely insane.
Yeah.
The U.S. is effectively saying that you're obligated to follow our rules, even though you've already denied people from the United States to the best of your ability.
That's right.
The ability to actually, you know, use your services. It's just absolutely insane.
The DOJ framework, this is a story from Coindesk.com that's reporting on this. notes that the U.S. has had anti-money laundering slash counterfeiting the financing of terrorism measures for decades, with specific standards around cryptocurrency exchanges and activities since at least 2011. Despite this, many VASPs, which again is the legalese for exchange, because government always comes up with longer terminology. These lawyers love to make legalese names
for things. They're money exchangers.
Yeah, but they call them virtual asset service providers. It says here they still do not necessarily comply with the Bank Secrecy Act or other laws, the framework says. They complain.
Which is not surprising considering they're not banks.
Well, no doubt.
No, the Bank Secrecy Act applies to more than just banks, potentially. Mm-hmm.
The framework complained that some exchanges might hold U.S. customers to standards that do not apply to non-U.S. customers, or might treat crypto-to-crypto transactions differently from crypto-to-fiat transactions. Quote, because of the global and cross-border nature of transactions involving virtual assets, the lack of consistent AML-CFT regulation and supervision over VASPs across jurisdictions, and the complete absence of such regulation and supervision in certain parts of the world, is detrimental to the safety and stability of the international financial system, according to the framework. Now, that was a lot of words to say that because some cryptocurrency exchanges don't follow our rules, they are a threat to the safety and stability of the international financial system.
Well, yeah, that's the point.
Exactly.
They should be, but they're not.
Wait, when you say they should be, but they're not, what do you mean?
You're
saying they're not a threat.
Yeah, I don't think they're not the threat that the government's making them out to be, right?
Why not?
They could be a threat, maybe. Mm-hmm. You know, if I don't know, at some point, like if crypto was more widespread and somehow it undermined the U.S. government somehow.
Well,
but
isn't that what we're doing?
The point.
Isn't that the point?
I don't know if that's the point. The exchanges themselves necessarily.
That may not be the point of what the exchanges are doing, but that was the point of crypto.
Absolutely, totally agree with you on that.
Right.
But what I'm just saying is that the government's making it out as if these exchanges are going to cause some sort of national security issue for the U.S. And
well,
just
that
not.
Is the plan. The idea is make the dollar collapse.
Sure, but that's not what's actually happening. It's a bit of an exaggeration at this point to say that the exchanges are going to cause the U.S. to collapse
Not the exchanges, the cryptocurrencies themselves, because we can go on trading once the exchanges are gone.
Right. I see what you're saying, Chris. You're saying that the exchanges aren't going to kill the... They're absolutely being hyperbolic here about what the potential of the exchanges have.
Right.
But that's what they have to do, right? Like, we've seen this. We've actually seen this happen in court. Okay. Now, I think it might have been before you moved here. Adamo Freeman from CopBlock.
Long time ago, yeah.
Yeah. He was facing some charges, and it was for so-called wiretapping, where he recorded audio of a school bureaucrat that he had called up on the phone, and they hit him with felony wiretapping charges in this case. They literally told the jury in this case that if the jury were to find him not guilty, that it would be like anarchy. If they didn't find him guilty, that it would mean that anarchy would basically reign in the streets.
Don't threaten me with a good time.
Yeah.
So they love to really blow up these cases. They love to really make them seem more serious. But
I kind of like it when they blow up too.
On the other hand, nobody's not wrong. I mean, nobody's correct here by saying that that ultimately these exchanges, whether they're obedient or not obedient or whatever, they are still assisting in helping people get out of the U.S. dollar, right?
Well,
that is ultimately what they're doing.
Kind of, for the moment, but they're also assisting in preventing people from getting out of the U.S.
That's
dollar.
That's true.
And so they've got to go.
Oh, I agree.
So they're not on our side. They've sold out.
I think the only way for these exchanges to begin to escape what the U.S. is claiming as jurisdiction is to not accept U.S. dollars inbound.
Right. Well, that's why Bitcoin.com has not opened its exchange to U.S. residents.
Yeah, but I think they have to go further than just not opening the exchange to U.S. residents. They can't take the dollar because I think they're claiming
from people outside.
I believe the United States is claiming jurisdiction over any financial entity in the world that deals in dollars effectively.
And maybe they're going to be targeting Bitcoin.com because nobody, you're talking really badly about exchanges right now. And certainly we've had some negative experiences with the domestic exchanges, but I don't think it's fair to accuse all the exchanges of being useless or
well,
all the
Bitcoin.com
exchanges.
Bitcoin.com didn't sell us out.
but we don't have,
it also won't trade
Bitcoin.com is a platform, not an exchange.
Nope,
right?
They have an exchange.
They have an exchange.
They launched an exchange a year or so ago.
But we can't access it.
Correct. That's restricted.
Interesting.
U.S. people
can't use it. That's going to cause them a problem.
Well,
because that, now they come under now they come under banking law.
That's what I'm saying. So, well, they don't. They're not based in the United States.
Yeah, but the U.S. is going to claim jurisdiction, which could then cause other banks in other countries not to do business
with them.
Sure,
and that's what I'm saying. They may be targeting Bitcoin.
Yeah,
this may be
something
that they need to be concerned with.
Yeah.
But and again, if you want to hop on a VPN, you can probably get around certain things, right?
Even and then you if you're like the executive or something like that, you can't come to the United States because you risk
being arrested.
Right. Even though you're not operating within the United States and you shouldn't be subject to U.S. jurisdiction. These are things that you have to. And I do believe Bitcoin.com's CEO has come to the United States recently, even.
And we may see exchanges moving more decentralized. We may see them moving underground. Are there any darknet exchanges? There must be, right? Are there any exclusive darknet only? Because there are some exchanges that have darknet portals where they have portals into their sort of public site. And then I don't know if there's any darknet only ones. What do you think? 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. You can take control of the airwaves here. Hour 3 is coming up. This is Free Talk Live.
Remember when you first heard about Bitcoin? How long did it take you to realize this little project would soon change the world? Do you kind of wish you had gotten involved sooner? Well, now is your chance to be part of the next revolution in money. Intercoin is working to finally make crypto go mainstream. It's designed to be scalable enough to support everyday payments and even elections without the state. Bitcoin was originally supposed to be a peer-to-peer cash system, the way we would all pay one another without having to trust any third party. But instead, over time, it mostly became a store of value. That's because every 10 minutes, the Bitcoin network must put all transactions into a block, and that block can only hold so much. If crypto is to become mainstream, for everyone to use it in everyday payments, we need a new architecture, one that's as secure as Bitcoin while being far more scalable. Check out intercoin.org to find out more and maybe pick up some of those coins for yourself.
Free Talk Live.
It is Free Talk Live. You can bring up what you want as we kick off the third hour of the program. You may take control of the airwaves at 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. Also, you can call in through our Matrix chat server. Go to chat.lrn.fm. There are instructions there on how to get on that server and how to call in. With you in the studio tonight, it's Ian.
Nobody.
And Chris.
So, Chris, you were about to get into a story regarding Amazon and the latest changes to the law over in the UK and how this is going to affect third-party sellers. Because when you buy things on Amazon, sometimes they're fulfilled by Amazon. And then you get the, like if you've got Amazon Prime, you get Amazon Prime there. Whatever. It's coming from the Amazon warehouse. Somebody, robot or whatever at Amazon is picking that. It's going into a box. It's going out from Amazon. But there are also a bunch of third-party sellers, items that are being offered by individuals or corporations that are selling on the platform, sort of like, eBay has a bunch of third-party
sellers. Absolutely. It's just like I shouldn't say just like eBay, because unlike eBay, Amazon is also selling its own products on its own website.
That's true. And we have a co-host, actually, Conan, our Tuesday night co-host. He regularly is a bookseller. He's, gets books in different places and resells them on Amazon. So
yeah, he sold out to the devil.
He's just trying to make money. I mean, people online, unfortunately, there aren't a lot of good competition to eBay.
There's not. And that's all the more reason not to sell on Amazon.
But it's like eBay and Amazon are the two biggies,
guilty,
where are they supposed to go?
I'm guilty of selling one of our products on eBay.
Yeah.
So I'm not.
And it's gotten worse and worse on both of these platforms over the years. I mean, they're terrible platforms. They take an arm and a leg from these sellers.
Well, yeah, it's 30% 30% on Amazon.
And it's like at least 15%, I think, on eBay. I mean, these are big chunks.
Yeah, it's somewhere between 10 and 15% on eBay, I believe.
They need replace.
Well, and now it's going to get worse. What's the latest news?
So Amazon, so the title of this story, so this is coming to us from The Guardian, and it's, I'm sure, well, Yeah, I think they're a little bit lefty for me, but
Amazon, they're pro-state, whatever they are.
Yeah, yeah. This is Snowden worked for them, or he
Snowden's story was broken by
the Guardian. Right? Yes, yeah, originally. Okay, Amazon. That's where he got his initial start. Amazon to escape UK digital services tax that will hit smaller traders.
Oh,
so the U.S. tech company's third-party sellers face a 2% rise in the amount that they pay.
Mm. Jesus.
Amazon will not have to pay the UK's new digital service tax on products it sells directly to consumers. But small traders who sell products on its site will face increased charges. So,
sorry, little guy.
This is the outrage of this whole story is the fact that they were attacking Amazon and Google and all of these big tech companies.
The
politicians.
Okay. And verbally, they were attacking them.
Yep. And they are going after them because they make too much money. Okay. That's
going after them to make them richer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so basically they're going on and on and on about how this is unfair to,
the little guy. Right.
And then what do? They pass a law
that attacks the little guy.
And what happens? No. Now Amazon forcefully has this 2% tax that they apply to the sellers on Amazon.com that they have to collect on behalf of these companies selling on their platform.
Wow.
But they don't have to apply that tax to them. So it's actually giving the smaller guy disadvantaging them and Amazon. Propping up Amazon.
Yeah, and Amazon is being used as the enforcer of this tax. So if you're selling through their platform, they are going to force the tax to be collected. You cannot avoid it.
Yep. And the United States government has done something similar. Not so much in that there's a tax that is specific to the sellers on platforms, but what they did was when it comes to sales taxes. If you say sell something on eBay to somebody in another state, even though we're operating out of New Hampshire, there's no sales tax here.
Right.
But if I ship something and I sold something through eBay, eBay will collect the tax for the state that the goods are shipping to.
God.
So I can't even refuse to collect or pay that tax. And the worst thing is that I may already be obligated to pay that tax anyway. So I might be paying a tax twice? Potentially, yes. Because we operate a legitimate business on eBay and are not just a little seller on eBay like a regular consumer. So, yeah, that tax could end up getting paid twice. It's screwed up. So, yeah, Amazon will not have to pay the UK's new digital services tax on products it sells directly to consumers, but small traders who sell products on its site will face increased charges. The tax, which aims to get tech companies such as Amazon, Google, and Facebook to pay more in tax in the UK. No, this is more like getting...
the reverse is true.
Yeah, I mean, they say one thing and then they do the exact opposite.
That's what they do.
Is forecast to eventually bring
it's
about.
It's interesting that the newspaper is reporting both sides of the story,
right?
But it's reporting them both as simultaneously true when they contradict each other.
The story itself contradicts it just blows my mind. 500 million, I believe this is British pounds, annually to the exchequer.
Exchequer of states.
I don't know what that is. Is that
exchequier? It's like French.
Is that like
for
a tax IRS?
Cashier?
Huh?
Yeah, I don't know. It sounds like it's some sort of
the tax
office. Government. Yeah, it's a government tax office, I guess. Amazon has already stated that the 2% tax on revenues made in the UK will be passed on to sellers, but it will not be adding the charge to the cost of advertising on its platform. Oh, how nice. So basically it benefits you.
Okay, hold on. Before you go on here.
Yeah.
So this is applying not just to Amazon. This is applying to a lot of online sellers. I know that ThinkPenguin.com had, at least in the past, some sort of UK customers and even a distribution warehouse. And I feel like I vaguely recall you saying that was going to get shut down.
We shut that down.
Okay.
We shut that down. And that was in response to the GDPR, General Data Protection Regulation. And we were not going to subject ourselves to – we removed every reference to Europe or any country in Europe from our website in order to not come under jurisdiction.
Can people in Europe still buy from ThinkPenguin.com?
Yes, but we do not target – customers in Europe in any way. We do not advertise to customers in Europe intentionally or anything of that nature.
Now, for listeners that maybe weren't paying attention to tech news, GDPR got some coverage on this show back when it was being implemented. That's the thing where there are all these cookies notices that you always encounter now every time you go to the damn websites?
I hate those
you don't
things.
Even know the half of it. So a lot of websites, if you haven't been to Europe in the last couple of years.
I've never been.
Oh, okay. So if you go to Europe, I've been to Europe, and you try to access websites like news websites.
Mm-hmm. Europe-based news websites or U.S.?
Like U.S.-based news websites.
This I have done through VPNs and been denied completely.
You mm-hmm. will be blocked yep. from accessing it. It's literally, I mean, it's outrageous. They're literally causing censorship in Europe because of the mm-hmm. general data, the GDPR.
I wonder if that's the purpose, the same as the masks and the lockdowns keep us from communicating.
Yeah, and they said that, mm-hmm. oh, well, you know, and it's amazing how the people on the left...
they can tell different lies in their press than they tell in our press, and we won't know the difference.
Yeah, I mean, there's some of that probably going on, but it's amazing the lies and the manipulation and the excuses that people on the left will make for how the GDPR is this good law. And it's like...
We need to let people know about cookies.
I know, right? And it's
everywhere.
There's no way for every small website operator out there to comply with every other jurisdiction out there in terms of their laws.
It's insane. And I don't understand why people try to do it. I you know, and this is one of my gripes with Telegram as far as it being, you know, it's a great app for chatting, but when they released their token that they were going to come out with, TON token, mm-hmm. TON network. And a court in, I think it was New York State, decided that they were going to put in some sort of a subpoena against them and sent them a notice saying, whoa, 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 we, this court over here in this other jurisdiction that you don't have any kind of, you have no nexus in, we have declared that you are a bad company and you shan't be releasing this token. And then they actually went to court and tried to fight them. I would have just ignored them completely and gone ahead and released the token.
So theoretically, you should be able to do that, right?
Yeah.
And in many cases, that is the appropriate thing to do. If you're in Russia,
ignore them.
That would make sense. Ignore them. But the problem is so many countries have extradition treaties with the United States. Mm-hmm. And the extradition treaty says basically you'll extradite your citizens to our country,
right.
You know, and it doesn't actually matter because we have a good government here. Like, yeah, we're just going to do it, and you get to decide whether or not the person's guilty,
and
even though it's
happening.
Not illegal in that country.
Right, and now John McAfee's caught up in an extradition hearing in Spain as a result.
Yeah, doesn't surprise me.
We're coming up here in moments. It's Free Talk. This is Free Talk Live. You can bring up whatever you want here. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. With you in the studio tonight, it's Ian.
Nobody.
And Chris.
All right, so we're going to go to your phone calls and thoughts. Of course, if you want to make them, you can bring up anything that you want here. 855-450-FREE. And Free Talk Live is brought to you by Divi, where setting up a masternode has been made super easy. Even, you know, just your average user can now do it. And of course, the more hardcore out there want to do it themselves. Apparently, those instructions are available. We're interested in hearing from somebody that has done their own Divi masternode setup without the easy route. DiviProject.org is where you can go to learn more and get in touch with the folks from Divi. They've got their own Telegram channel where you can ask questions. You can purchase Divi directly from them, or you can, of course, go to several exchanges and grab some Divi there. DiviProject.org, DiviProject.org. And speaking of cryptocurrencies, John McAfee, the eccentric crypto millionaire, I suspect because he used to charge $100,000 worth of crypto just to do a tweet. There's probably no doubt he's got several millions worth. He is...
Yeah, but he's gone through a lot of pressure.
That's true. And he got caught recently in Spain, where he was arrested on behalf of the U.S. federal government on charges of so-called tax evasion. The father of the eponymous antivirus software and the P.T. Barnum-like promoter of head-scratcher crypto tokens, is according to Decrypt.co, reported today, quote, "Know that if I hang myself a la Epstein, it will be no fault of mine," unquote. So McAfee tweeting from inside jail that if he turns up dead... he didn't do it.
Was it the guy who sold him the phone?
What phone?
The phone he tweeted from.
Oh, I don't know. I presume it was a prison guard in that particular case that sold him the phone. But Epstein's arrest, and or maybe he's calling it in. He may be calling in tweets, you know, like having his wife do the tweeting for him on the outside.
Ah, that could be.
Epstein's arrest.
Sometimes they sing like a bird in there.
Subsequent death has been the subject of much conspiracy talk, of course. It spawned the now famous Epstein didn't kill himself meme. And it's all McAfee's way of saying he's not planning on killing himself soon. He says in jail, this is a tweet from McAfee, "I am content in here. I have friends. The food is good. All is well. Know that if I hang myself," he says, "all Epstein will be no fault of mine." Janice McAfee, his wife, tweeted earlier in the day to expect direct messages from the living legend, though she didn't say how. Quote, "I spoke with John this morning. He's doing well and says not to worry about him. He's got this. He now has limited access to Twitter from prison, so..."
That's just great. Limited access to Twitter from prison. Limited. Yeah. You know, as bad as, you know, the prisons are mm-hmm. in, like, everywhere, I have to say, like, if he's got access to Twitter, it's got to be 1,000 times better than a prison in the U.S.
That sounds pretty good, yeah. For sure. He says, so she says, "So expect to see direct tweets from him whenever he can. Please don't ask how. Just appreciate the mystery," she says.
Oh, so maybe it's a smuggled in self. They have that in the U.S. too.
There's a good chance of that.
I thought he was literally being provided access by the prison to Twitter.
Not likely. Immediately after McAfee's arrest, Janice had tweeted that her husband was with her, but it turned out that both accounts are managed by interns. So is John tweeting from Spanish jail while enjoying paella, or is his intern sipping margaritas on a boat in the Caribbean while asking, "What would John do?" Last week, McAfee reported via Janice's account that he was having a good time in prison, given what would...
It's just hilarious.
Giving what would probably...
That's so McAfee,
yeah. Right?
He probably is, too, because he's a gregarious enough guy, and he's interesting enough that he would have all those bored guys eating out of his hand.
He gave what would be considered a 4-star Yelp review, if not for the murderers. Quote, "We can wear whatever clothes we want," he wrote. "We can smoke and socialize. It's like the Hilton without turndown service."
Wow.
McAfee, according to the Department of Justice, didn't file taxes on his earnings from shilling cryptocurrency ICOs and illegally routed money through accounts in
Who
a different
name. Who
wrote
this story?
Decrypt.co.
Okay, because they literally said shilling.
That's what they said.
That's not something journalists usually say.
Well, I'm not saying it's journalism, but that is a pretty accurate term for what McAfee has done. I mean, he was basically a shill for anyone who would pay him. I mean, look, the guy is entertaining as hell. There's no doubt about it. But he'll also take money from, you know, anybody that's got $100,000 and breath.
Yeah, if they got $100,000, I'll take it too.
Would you really take $100,000 to promote a scheme or a scam?
Well, I mean, he said exactly what he was doing. He said, "I am getting paid to make these tweets."
Yep.
So he wasn't dishonest. He didn't create the illusion he was pushing his opinion.
But earlier in the show, you were talking about how important it was to format hard drives before you sold them from customers that were leaving them at computer shops for too long. And now you're saying you would shill absolutely anything as long as you told people in advance that you're shilling?
Yeah, if I told them that I was doing that, that I'm not telling any lies. It's like I'm playing this character on TV. Guess what? I'm, you know, Jerry Seinfeld.
Yeah, this is...
But, you know, without the 13-year-old.
This sounds a little to me like, you know, it's kind of like blaming the companies that produce the content for a show when it's clearly the company who is, showing or not producing the show, but airing the show has advertisements that go alongside it. Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, you don't actually believe that the person who's endorsing the product is doing so because they want to endorse the product. They're doing so because they're being paid to endorse the product.
Well, it depends, right? So like on this radio show, for instance, when our ads run during the commercial breaks, we don't even know what they all are.
Right.
Right. So we...
this is kind of the point that I'm making, right? Like,
But that's different than putting my voice behind a thing, right? So, I mean, some people have a tough time discerning all these subtleties or whatever. But if there's so like a radio station that's going to run an advertisement, we don't even know. We got 190 radio stations, right?
Sure.
So there's dozens and dozens of different ads running out there. We have no idea what they are. They certainly don't have our voice on them.
Yep.
John McAfee was using his Twitter account, his social media account, presumably his voice, even if it's being run by an intern.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's presumably his, you know, it's got his face on it.
Sure.
It's purportedly him. And he's saying, buy this thing. This is a great crypto, or whatever it was that he was saying to promote these cryptos that many of them may have not been great. In fact, I know he did end up apologizing about at least one of them, but some of this stuff has been pretty shifty and pretty questionable. That's way different than just being like on a show with some advertising somewhere.
I follow you a little bit. It's hard to, and maybe I'm more in tune with like, or I just don't throw my money away without investigating stuff like some people, mm-hmm. but like I'm not going to go and throw my money into something
just because John McAfee says
there's
so?
A famous person out there
Me
who
neither.
Is pimping a product.
Dude, I'm the same way, okay?
You know, at some point you have to take responsibility for your own stupid actions.
Absolutely, and, but shouldn't John McAfee take responsibility for what he's backing?
I don't think so, because it's
no.
It's,
so I think he should just be a mouthpiece, and if OneCoin wants to advertise with him, he should just
It's an advertisement that he's being paid to produce, and I don't think that, you know, if it was...
If you're getting paid to read copy, and,
yeah. don't agree with that at all.
Say you're getting paid to read copy.
I want to know what the copy is, I want to know what the product is, and I want to know something about it. That doesn't mean my investigation is going to be perfect.
He may not be reputable, but I don't think it should be illegal.
Oh, I wasn't saying it should be illegal. I'm just saying his reputation's on the line, and to just say he should be getting...
On a multidimensional probe, the Cisgov Transtemporal Vehicle Clio discovers two entire universes have been annihilated in a massive time-traveling accident. Robert Kaminsky and his crew race home with the news, only to learn their own universe is next. To pull off the impossible, they'll have to embrace the unpalatable by placing their trust in the admin, Cisgov's xenophobic sister universe, and the same people who tried to kill them all only months before. The Valkyrie Protocol by David Weber and Jacob Hollow. Available October 6th, wherever books are sold. Visit BaneBooks at Bane.com. For more.
Free Talk Live. You dial in if you want to take control of the airwaves. You can do that. Our toll-free number, 855-450-FREE like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. And in the studio with you tonight, you do have Ian.
And nobody.
And Chris.
You can take control of the airwaves. That's the point of the show. We were just talking about what was going on with John McAfee, where he's apparently looking at up to 30 years in a U.S. prison, and given that he's now, I think, 74 years old, that would be a death sentence for John McAfee.
Yeah.
If he is
almost guaranteed
convicted of multiple so-called tax evasion charges. He was also charged with, I think, 5 counts of failure to file.
I wonder if they'll try to make an example of him, or he'll get something, you know, somewhat reasonable, you know, with, and I'll put reasonable in quotes here because I don't think anything is reasonable, but, you know, something on the lower end of that, mm-hmm. you know, because oftentimes they'll say, oh, 100 years, and then you'll get convicted and it'll be like a year. So right. I'm kind of yeah. curious. But on the other hand, if they're trying to make an example of him, could be like, you know, Ross Ulbricht of Silk Road.
Who is the founder of the Silk Road, the underground drug marketplace that is now serving 2 life sentences plus 40 years for the dastardly crime of creating a website, which is tragic
yeah.
and horrifying. And if you want to comment, you're welcome to join us here. Again, the toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. You know, we talked earlier tonight about the Twitter and Facebook censorship. It was just sort of mentioned in the story about Hunter Biden and the crack pipe and the sex tape and all this, you know, data that's supposedly coming off of a laptop that was left at a computer repair shop. There was a mention in that story that social media was cracking down on that particular news. So if you were to take the news story about Hunter
yeah.
Biden and post it on Facebook or Twitter,
yes,
you would
right.
be blocked from making that post, and maybe they would even like ban your account or something like that.
That's a whole other story, I think,
it is.
That actually has yeah. resulted because of that.
Well, it's just the same story of Twitter cracking down on stories they don't like.
Well,
it's just the latest version
I mean,
of it.
There's the gossip side of it, right? And then there is the, you know, censorship side. I think that's 2 different stories in and of themselves.
No, I agree with yeah. you. I'm just saying it's just the latest version of yet another targeting of political news by
Absolutely.
Twitter and Facebook.
Yep.
So this is a story that's ongoing of the centralized, centrally controlled social media platforms that have a particular political viewpoint, that have a particular political party that they want to promote. And so they target Donald Trump. They target, you know, some of the right-wing stuff. but they let fly all the left-wing hate.
Oh, sure.
For instance. So according to Reuters, there's an update here. Twitter appeared to backtrack on its decision to block links to the New York Post article about Democratic presidential candidate Joe Biden's son, despite reaffirming the ban late Thursday. Republicans who had decried Twitter's earlier actions posted the story freely on the site. Arizona Representative Paul Gosar tweeted, quote, "You can now share the bombshell story that big tech didn't want you to see." The company's policy chief, Vijaya Gadde, said Thursday night that Twitter had decided to make changes to its hacked materials policy following feedback. But a spokesman told Reuters that the New York Post story would still be blocked for, quote, "violating the rules on personal private information." They said, "We'll no longer remove hacked content unless it is directly shared by hackers or those acting in concert with them." The Twitter admin said further, "We will label tweets to provide context instead of blocking links from being shared on Twitter." So what that means is if you share a link on Twitter that they don't like, they'll put a warning up if it's a so-called hacked content to let you know what their opinion is, but they say they'll still let you see it.
That's kind of interesting because
what makes them think I'm interested in their opinion?
You're on their site.
You know what's interesting about that is if you link to a hacked content, the U.S. government has prosecuted, or I would say persecuted, reporters for act.
You're talking about Barrett Brown.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Who was
the only one, but he's one.
He's the one I can think of off the top of my head.
Yeah.
He was in a chat room, I believe an IRC chat room. He posted a link to some alleged leaked content.
Something I don't think he had even opened. If I'm not mistaken. Yeah, if my memory is correct, I could be wrong, but I don't think he even opened it at the time. He just copied and pasted it from one room to another.
And went to prison for that.
Yeah, he did.
I think he's out now. I'm not sure what he's up to.
Oh, yeah, I'm pretty sure he was out.
I think he got out a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
Twitter had initially said the Post story violated its hacked materials policy, which bars the distribution of content obtained through hacking, but has provided no details on what materials it viewed as hacked. Now, remember, this laptop allegedly was turned into the FBI. So does that count as hacking? Maybe that's why they undid.
Only when it happens to a Democrat.
Well, it sounds like they're coming up with new policies to respond in order to favor the candidates they want to favor.
The Twitter executive director, Jack Dorsey, said in a tweet Friday morning that, quote, "straight blocking of URLs was wrong," unquote, and suggested Twitter instead should have applied tools like labels. He says, "Our goal is to attempt to add context, and now we have capabilities to do that," he said. Tweets of the story successfully published on Friday did not have any labels attached, and Twitter declined to answer Reuters' questions on whether that was due to an error or policy decision. So there you go. Everything's fine at Twitter, right? See, they undid, there's nothing to see here.
This is the problem these centralized platforms, hosted platforms. Mm-hmm. You end up with censorship, and if you're on the wrong side of the political position
you can't be heard.
You can't be heard. And this is not something that affects just people on the left or just the people on the right. It affects everybody, or libertarians or whatever. Every single person gets affected by this.
Right, and people just keep on with these platforms. As many times as they've banned and censored people, nobody just told me off the air that he was banned from Facebook today again. Our co-host Aria has been banned from Facebook multiple times. But people keep going back. Whenever they get treated, it's like going back to an abusive spouse.
That's where the people are.
That's what everybody says, but I don't believe it.
Nobody hears you.
People are hearing us right now.
Everybody says that, but it's not true. It's an excuse that they use in order to justify their
Because that's really what I want to do. No, I want to talk to different people, who haven't heard anything I've had to say before.
People on Twitter and Facebook,
because that's where the naive people are.
I'm not talking specifically about you, okay?
Well, you're talking about a class of which I am a member, and I'm telling you why that is.
You may have good reasons to, there's different people, and there's different reasons that people do different things, right? So you may have a good reason for doing those things, right? The other person doesn't necessarily have that same reason, and we're just talking about this. I'm talking about this, at least generally speaking. I think most people don't have a good reason to be on a platform like Facebook. I think
not when there are better platforms there.
I think some people may have a good reason for politics or whatever. I don't necessarily think that's the case with Facebook. However, certainly that's just an opinion based off of what I've heard from other people, particularly yourself, Ian. in terms of not being able to accomplish much of anything on Facebook.
Yeah, so. I think that the I also agree with you that that was the excuse that I hear from everybody. Oh, well, that's where everybody is. But it's not true.
Nope,
there are plenty of people who are not on those platforms, and we're reaching them.
Yeah, they're the people who are already awake.
That's not true either.
Yeah,
there's all
that.
Kinds of people out there, many of whom are not, you know, on these platforms. But the point I wanted to make about this was there's all this hubbub. Every time Twitter or Facebook does a crackdown like this, they ban some news story, and then there's always this big, you know, how dare they? We've been banned. This story's been censored, and yet they keep on posting.
Yeah, and people should.
But that's the thing, nobody. It's a waste of time. You're wasting your breath. There's a lot of people who are complaining about
this.
It's
not a waste of breath because what it does is it helps wake people up to the fact that the media is lying and lying and lying and covering up the truth.
I'm not saying you
shouldn't
talk about
it. So they have to keep doing it, and we have to keep calling them on it.
I don't have to. I can go anywhere and do anything else I want.
Yeah.
But the point I was trying to make about this is not that you shouldn't say something. Go ahead. We're talking about it on the air. So we're saying something about it. Just stop begging these platforms to change. That's what I'm saying is a waste
of
time.
I'm not begging them to change. I'm telling people that they're doing and why they shouldn't be using the platform.
I got you.
But there's no point in telling that to the people who aren't using the platform.
But there are people who are begging
the platforms. You have to tell it to the people who are using the platform.
I understand what you're saying.
They're the people who have to stop.
Okay, I get what you're saying.
So I'll be the
great,
last guy out, or I'll go down with the ship.
Great, you do that. The point is, the people who are complaining to Twitter and Facebook, they're wasting their breath. They're not going to This is Free Talk Live. You can take control of the airwaves here, toll free. Our number, 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. With you in the studio tonight, you've got Ian.
Nobody.
And Chris.
And also, don't forget to join us on our Matrix chat server over at chat.lrn.fm. You can go there and get interactive with other Free Talk Live listeners. The instructions are there on how you do that at chat.lrn.fm. Don't forget archives and more available at freetalklive.com. We were just arguing about social media and how, you know, Chris and I, we're not so big of fans of spending time on these centralized platforms. I don't blame somebody for wanting to go and tap into the audience that they have. And as long as they're not banning you all the time, you know, you can do that to some extent.
Yeah, I think
even
also
getting banned all the time is a demonstration.
Mm-hmm.
Because you tell them that social media is scamming with the deep state, and they say you're crazy. But then they notice that you keep getting banned for saying.
Does it say that you, when you're banned, that you've been banned?
Yeah.
Okay, so people would actually know that.
Well, they also shadow ban people.
Oh, right. So, you know, I think a lot of this is also partially strategy in what you think is possible or accomplishable. Like, for me personally, I'm not convinced that you can change people's minds so easily or that it's necessarily even a good idea.
Did anybody say it was evil? Easy? Because nobody didn't.
Yeah. No. And I think it's also part of, my perspective versus, you know, maybe your perspective, nobody, right? So I'm not convinced that you can change people's minds so easily or get them to change their mind and then not flip
back.
Well,
I'm not convinced I can either. I'm just convinced that we lose if I can't.
Yeah, I mean, and I think there's a difference between getting somebody to vote one way and, you know, getting them to be, you know, a libertarian. And I think or an anarchist or whatever you want to try and get them to convert to. And I think the best strategy, at least from my perspective, is to get people of like mind to move to New Hampshire, whereas I think your strategy is more to get people who are already here to become libertarian or something along those lines.
Well, it's definitely to make more libertarians, both here and abroad, because I've got things that I do
sure,
that focus nationally and things mm-hmm. that focus locally.
Yeah. So I'm of a different persuasion, I think, but that doesn't necessarily mean that it's not a good thing. Like, I think when people get banned, I think that's a good thing to promote, right? So I don't necessarily think that it's bad thing that we have some people getting banned from Facebook, because it gives us something to talk about. And
that's
why
we're talking about
it. Exactly.
It is important. I think that's one thing that we can all agree on so far, is that we've all agreed that promoting these bans, promoting these Facebook crackdowns, the Twitter crackdowns, is valuable. However, I think that what we need to be doing at the same time is promoting the alternative.
Right.
Not and I'm not saying you're doing this, nobody, okay? I'm just talking generally about, there's some people out there that want to see Facebook change, or they want to see Twitter.
Oh, no. I want to see Facebook die.
There you go.
I want to pry people away from that platform.
I think our opinions are more alike than dislike.
I agree. But that's why we need to promote the alternative.
Right,
so we've been promoting Matrix, for instance, as a decentralized chat platform. There's Mastodon, which is a great decentralized replacement for Twitter. So it's a great alternative social media that is federated and self-hosted and way better in a lot of ways. But there's a certain group of people out there that they want to use the government to regulate Twitter or to regulate Facebook. They're saying that, well, this should be a public platform and it should be a public utility. We should all have the right to access these platforms. They're so important, they should be regulated by the government.
Oh, and that's exactly what you want, what you don't want, because that's going to prevent anything from being able to compete with them.
Good point.
If they become the social media companies of record, then they're locked into a monopoly niche and you can't escape.
Yeah. So, obviously there would still be underground alternatives or whatever if it came to that. But there are actually people who want that. And so I'm just saying, if you find yourself called to this idea of begging Facebook to change their mind or be different, give up on that and focus your energy on creating the alternative. Focus your energy on promoting the alternative and then put things there.
Yeah, it's definitely something I like to do, is lead by example and do what I preach. So I've never been on Facebook even, actually.
Wow.
I've been against Facebook from before Facebook was even popular. But it's not, and I understand that that's not everybody. And sometimes the one thing you have to be kind of conscientious of is that if you attack people, sometimes when you are talking about not being on Facebook, it comes off as an attack. And so you kind of got to be careful there too, that, that you're come off as being too preachy.
Or the enlightened something like that.
Yeah. So I try not to talk about it too much, but every once in a while, saying, oh, I'm not on Facebook.
I only mention it if somebody, if it happens to come up.
Right.
And I'm just like, oh yeah. And I'm sorry. I haven't been on there since 2018.
Yeah.
So there's other ways that, if you want to follow what I do, I've got a Telegram account.
Yeah, I mean, people have to be aware that you're on another platform, right? Because otherwise they won't even check it out.
And I think that's a legitimate use of the old large platforms. If you have an account there still, if you haven't been completely banned, what I did when I left Facebook was I kept the account up for several months and just left a post at the very top pinned to my account. I was no longer actually, I think I had a – I think I had an IFTTT that was linking posts over there, but I had a post at the top, and every post began with, hey, follow me over here on this other platform on Mastodon because I'm no longer on Facebook. And then eventually I shut the account down.
Did people see that message, or was it mostly, I don't want to say censored, but just not actually getting attraction because of how Facebook is?
I mean, that's generally a problem with Facebook, is your people don't see your messages. So that was my biggest response to the people who said...
Yeah, and that's why I was curious about whether or not that had any effect by doing that.
Well, no. I mean, because Facebook prevents your friends from seeing your posts in a lot of cases. So it's seen by some people, but it's a fraction of the number of people. That's one of the things that changed over the years about Facebook, was in the beginning years, it was a legitimate way to connect with all of your friends. You could easily invite them all to an event that you created, or when you posted, they would see what you were posting. And eventually they changed their algorithm to where the only way you could get your whole friends list to see what you're posting is to pay Facebook.
Yeah, I knew that was coming.
Hey, they're in business. It's their business, whatever. But they purposefully crippled their platform after making it useful. And everybody still says, oh, well, that's where everyone is. Well, that may be true, but everyone isn't seeing what you're posting.
I don't know if that's the truth anymore. I mean, I know so many people who have left Facebook for different reasons, not necessarily for, you know, reasons of principle necessarily even, but just they've just left Facebook.
Yeah, but you and I run in those circles.
I will say, yeah, and
I would say I'm more likely
to people that aren't awake yet.
Hold on. So I certainly would agree that I run in those circles, whether people are more likely to be leaving Facebook,
right.
But it's not just the people who are in my circle that I've noticed who are leaving. Like from what I understand, younger people are not on Facebook.
They're going to other platforms.
Yeah.
TikTok.
And, some of the people who I think
Snapchat.
Were older, you know, they just kind of don't use it anymore just because I don't know.
They've seen a diminishment in the amount of users. That
I mean,
they
you're not going to see the numbers declining because Facebook doesn't, they only increase it.
But perception is reality.
They advertise people coming on, but they don't advertise people going off.
Of course not. But perception is reality. For people that are in the midst of that platform, they're still surrounded digitally by all these people that they know,
and it's
supposedly.
A lot harder to notice people leaving than people coming.
Sure, that's true.
So
yeah, you'd have to be like, hey, wait, where was so-and-so? I haven't seen them in a while. And you're less likely to do that.
Yeah.
I think you're right about that. So, you know, focus on the alternatives. And we've got some good ones. So take your time. If you haven't taken the time yet, check out Mastodon. Check out the different servers out there. There's Liberdon, which is ostensibly run by a libertarian, Liberdon.com. There's, of course, Gab, which is one of the most popular Mastodon servers on the planet, and the Mastodon people hate them. That's kind of an interesting story and an interesting option. And then, of course, if you've got the computer chops, you can just start your own and run your own Mastodon server.
It's kind of interesting because you don't have to run in the case of Mastodon, it's actually called federated, so you don't actually have to run your own software or server. You can sign up for an instance basically that somebody else runs.
Right. Well, that's what Liberdon is, and that's what Gab is.
Right,
but that's
what
I'm saying. If you wanted to do your own instance, you can do that.
You can. You absolutely can.
If you know what
can.
You're doing, you can do that.
Yep. And that's good. It's good when you do because the more if we're all on Liberdon,
that's bad.
That's bad.
Then it's centralized again.
It becomes more centralized, and people can be censored and so on.
Yep. Exactly.
So, absolutely better to spread out across different instances if you can.
So and check out thinkpenguin.com. Also, Freedom Decrypted. It's your Saturday evening television video
tech
experience,
show.
Tech show. That's back on as of last weekend, so you're back this week as well. Check him out tomorrow, 5 p.m. Eastern time over at freedomdecrypted.com. And then tonight, 10:30 p.m. Eastern over at dlive.lrn.fm. Join Nobody for Nobody Tells the Truth.
Because nobody does.
Also on Twitch at twitch.lrn.fm. So that's coming up in about a half hour. And we'll see you there online. In the meantime, we're at freetalklive.com.
All right. It's another edition of the Edgington Post Show here on Free Talk Live. And I've been doing a sort of a medical series here in the hopes of helping my listeners know when they need to take care of themselves in any given circumstance. And today I have with me a very special guest. It's Dr. Cheryl Martin Schild. Is that correct? Dr. Cheryl Martin Schild. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And you have an MD and a PhD, making you the first double doctor that I've ever met.
My pleasure.
Can you tell me who you're with? I don't want to mispronounce anything here.
Oh, okay, sure. I'm the stroke medical director for the Louisiana Emergency Response Network and the stroke director for two hospitals in New Orleans East Hospital and Toro Infirmary.
It's the Toro Infirmary that was kind of scaring me just a little bit. Can you? So it's, I think it's like Stroke Awareness Month or something. I should be aware of the month.
Yeah, it's World Stroke Month. And today I'm partnering with Genentech to raise awareness about stroke symptoms, signs, what to do, how to respond if you observe someone else having a stroke.
So first, what is a stroke?
A stroke is basically a brain attack. You hear heart attack, but this is a brain attack. And it can happen to anyone at any age at any time. Basically, what happens is that a blood vessel that carries oxygen to the brain suddenly can't do that anymore. Either it's blocked off by a plaque or a clot, or there's a rupture of the blood vessel and there's bleeding into the brain. In either case, part of the brain doesn't get the normal blood flow that it needs, and the brain cells start to die, resulting in loss of one or a number of functions that you may not even realize is a possibility only because your brain allows you to do those things.
And how common are strokes?
Stroke, unfortunately, happens to about 800,000 Americans each year. It's the number one reason to develop disability and the number five killer. So it's a major healthcare problem. And, you know, you may not know this, but most of those strokes that are occurring every year could be prevented.
That's what I want to know, is that what can people do to keep themselves from being disabled by strokes or, you know, even dying? But I think frankly, I think the disability is worse.
The most important thing is to be aware of your risk and to do everything you can to modify those risk factors. If blood pressure alone were controlled to target, 50% of all strokes would be prevented. Other conditions that are modifiable include cholesterol, smoking, diabetes, heart rhythm problems like atrial fibrillation, lack of physical activity, obesity, and sleep apnea. There are, of course, risk factors you can't do anything about, like your age and your gender, family history, ethnic background, but controlling the ones that you can modify can greatly reduce your risk. And there's lots more information that's available on the website www.strokeawareness.com.
And if one does manage to recognize that a stroke's occurring right now, what can you do?
Most important thing is to dial 911. If you're witnessing someone else have a stroke, even if they say, no, 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 don't call, you should call 911 because it gives that person the best chance to get their life back and to avoid a lifelong disability. Any of the signs of stroke should prompt dialing 911. And those signs of stroke can best be recognized by a very simple acronym called BFAST. Because as I said, if you're having a stroke, you better be fast. That B stands for balance, so a sudden loss of balance or dizziness. The E stands for eyes, so any sudden change in vision. The F stands for face, so someone whose face is uneven when they smile or talk. The A stands for arm, so if one side of the body is weaker than the other side, it represents a stroke. And the S stands for speech, so any sudden slurred speech or trouble communicating in any way should prompt you to recognize the T, which is time, that calling 911 right away can kick off the chain of events that can ultimately have a lasting impact for the person having a stroke.
Yeah, there was some study recently that showed that a lot of people really don't think that calling 911 is the first thing that they ought to do when they're seeing a stroke.
It's unfortunate, but that statistic came from a nationwide survey that was sponsored by Genentech, and that's why I'm partnering with Genentech to try to raise awareness because of that startling statistic. I mean, 100% of people should be dialing 911 at sudden onset of any of those stroke symptoms, and yet only 40% are doing so. I mean, dialing 911 offers so many more advantages than going by private car and certainly offers advantages over delaying the initial evaluation.
What are those advantages of dialing 911 over just hopping in a car and heading to the hospital?
One of the things is that the medics in most states have protocols that prompt them to alert the hospital that they're coming with a patient with suspected stroke. There are screening tests that can be done in the field that help to make sure that the hospital that is their destination is the appropriate hospital to meet that patient's needs. And when the hospital knows that somebody's coming, you know, everybody's ready to spring into action and make sure that the sequence of events that need to occur to decide what, if anything, should be offered to that patient in terms of treatment are done as quickly as possible.
And a lot of people are scared right now to go to hospitals, period, because of COVID-19. What are your thoughts regarding this?
Unfortunately, after the pandemic started taking off across our country, we saw a significant reduction in patients presenting with time-sensitive conditions like stroke and heart attacks. And we think it's because people were afraid. I mean, there was so much media that made people afraid that hospitals didn't have the necessary protective equipment to even take care of themselves, much less other patients. But that's simply not the case. I mean, hospitals across the country worked quickly to implement universal precautions for both protection of their own staff and other patients and have adequate supplies of protective equipment, as well as rapid testing so that they can distinguish which patients should be taken care of with the highest level of protection and which patients can be taken care of safely with the standard protections like surgical masks and excellent hand hygiene by all healthcare providers.
Very good.
It's a myth that you can't be safely taken care of in the hospital.
Oh, terribly sorry there for interrupting. Very good. Thank you, Dr. Cheryl Martin-Schild, double Dr. Cheryl Martin-Schild. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having the opportunity.
Look, I'm sorry, but you're in for a world of pain if you use Coinomi. The reason is their wallet doesn't support payments. The solution is simple. Let them hear your voice. Message Coinomi on Twitter, it takes 5 seconds, and tell them AnyPay sent you, because they're on the fence right now, and your voice will prove that people care about using Bitcoin for payments. Go tweet at Coinomi now. Or even better, leave a review in the App Store. They really pay attention there. Thanks.
You know what's really smart?
Wash your hands frequently, practice social distancing, and stay home if told to do so.
You know what's really dumb?
To ignore your immune system.
Right now, more than ever, your health depends on a strong immune system.
The experts at Immunocorp will give you their 7-step guide to immunity for life, free.
Why? Because we want you to be smart and healthy.
Simply call 800-446-3063 or click immunityforlife.com.
Immunocorp has been producing the world's leading immune system products for more than 2 decades.
To get your free 7-step guide to immunity for life, call 800-446-3063. 800-446-3063.
Be smart. Don't ignore your immune system. Your life depends on it.
Call 800-446-3063 or click immunityforlife.com.
Immunityforlife.com.